Hi, everybody. Guess what? We're back.
We're back. And better than ever. Face facts. Cause your opinions don't matter.
We'll knit you a sweater. I'm Uncle Bill.
And I am the Creepy Kentuckian, if you will. And this is the first Dead Pit radio show we've done. And I'm thinking like 20 some odd days. It's been, you know, almost 3 weeks, Uncle Bill. Almost 3 weeks. Can you believe that? It's October.
Rocktober.
It is, yeah, the prime month to discuss all things horror related. And we haven't had a show in 2 weeks.
I know.
What does that say for us? And the message board has just been a bunch of fucking crybaby nonsense since we've taken off as well. There's been a handful of people leave. You know, they've disbanded. They're starting the New World Order of Horror.
The WTF. Yeah. yeah. So there has been a lot of drama recently. There's even like, I've noticed too that the more threads that get started, it seems like the more drama that there is. So the more people that post on there, the more arguments and fights
you gotta out. You gotta love the thread that's on there, though. Say something nice to one another.
I think that thread broke out into a fight, too, now. So it doesn't really matter.
I was thinking, though, are we, like, in elementary school or something? We're talking horror films, folks. This isn't the most PC-related subject anyway. I mean, you can have discussions on horror. We can agree to disagree in horror movies. But God damn.
I'm not going to say nothing nice about anybody.
Well, I've decided not to say shit about anything, anybody on the message board. Because, let's see, how long have we been doing this show? 3 or 4 years now? I've been doing that. Like, I've been talking about people. And the shit never ends. It never ends.
It's not going to end anyway, because there's a lot of people on there that have no idea when we're being facetious, and when we're not. So, I don't know. I mean, people, we've been doing this show almost 4 years now. People should be able to get our humor by now, I would hope.
Yeah, but they don't.
Obviously. I think we need to fire some of our writers, Uncle Bill, and
that's true.
Maybe bring in a new
team.
We
need to fire the
I want to get rid of Vince Russo right away.
Get rid of Zeebo the monkey over there that's writing all these scripts. So let's just go ahead and get this out of the way real quick. Since this is the 23rd, the show is the 23rd. October 23rd. Let's go ahead and get this out of the way real quick.
Eight more days till Halloween. Eight more days till Halloween.
I'm excited now.
Really?
I'm excited now.
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to rock and roll.
But we were talking, and it seems like we haven't really in the past taken the necessary amount of time to sit back and observe the beauty and the majesty of October and of around fall, really, to get into the Halloween spirit. So we're really pumped and ready for Halloween this year, whereas in the past we have fucking killed ourselves to try to do something for the show,
yeah.
And essentially, as always, nobody cares.
Bottom line is, you folks need to realize this. We've realized it long ago because we look at the numbers. It's cool to get guests on the show from time to time, but the bottom line is, we're the whole fucking show. The hosts of Dead Pit, by ourselves, and you guys, the fans, I will guarantee you, the hits from this show will be substantially more than the Frank Henenlotter shows. That's just the way it is. I don't know why for sure that is. If you guys just love us that much and love to hear us ramble and rant and rave about horror films and just cuss each other out and me talk about shitting on Uncle Bill's chest sideways and all that goodness. But in the end, it's clear to us that you guys don't give a fuck if we have an interview or not. So we don't have an interview this week, mainly because I've been sicker than dog shit. We're going to try to have one next week, but we don't have it done yet. So we'll try to get somebody on the show for next week. But this week, Uncle Bill, of course, the ultimate Halloween fan pit show this week, because we're almost a week away from Halloween. Halloween falls on a Saturday night
this
year. So who knows what may happen with that. You know, we do have Saturday Nightmares.
Although technically it wouldn't be Halloween when we started the show. It'd be the day after Halloween.
Oh, fuck. Everybody's still in the Halloween spirit. So it'd be like late night, October 31st, November 1st. I don't know. We should do something special.
You want to give away candy?
Maybe I could have a live chest shitting competition.
That'd be a lot of fun. You know I am the bronze medal winner in chest shitting, though.
That's right. So, but also, let's talk about the show, what else we're going to do on this show. We have DVD reviews to get to. I know we're talking about a classic, in my opinion, from 1987, a little monster movie that, if you grew up around that time, odds are you've seen this movie. This is Tibor Takacs. That's how you pronounce it, Uncle Bill. The Gate, with Stephen Dorff, Lewis Tripp, and Krista Denton, who I know Slipcase was trying to find Krista Denton and Lewis Tripp and failed miserably, Slipcase.
Way to go,
shame on you. I wanted to see Krista Denton. She was a hot little girl back then, my God.
Buddy, you can't say that. You can't talk about little
girls. She was older than me, though, so I can do it. And I was just anxious to see what she might look like.
We'll never know now, yeah. Thanks to fucking Michael Felsher.
What about the Banger Sisters that was in that movie, too? The one that looked like she had cum in her hair sticking up?
Yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about the Gate DVD from Lionsgate.
And also, from Paramount, who once again decided to give the fans a backhanded slap by actually releasing a series that all the fans wanted released, but doing so in a way that no one could possibly get behind. We've got the Friday the 13th, the series, final season.
Thank God it's the final season. Thank God.
We'll talk about that more. I don't understand. I just don't understand. Well, actually, I do understand. But from a fan perspective, it really blows once again.
Yeah. But we do have a lot of news to get to. A ton of fan mail. Oh, my God. I couldn't believe it. But let's go ahead and get started. Tim Sullivan's 2001 Maniac sequel has officially been retitled from a horrible title, The Beverly Hillbillies, to yet a more horrible title, 2001 Maniacs, Field of Screams. Field of Screams. Were they just going through, like, old TV shows and movies and stuff and trying to think of, like, a way they can just retitle something? That sounds to me like what they were doing. They're going and looking at old, you know, back catalogs of studio titles. I have no clue. But, the plot is after the sheriff refused to cover up any further for the maniacs, causing all the missing persons in the area, they're forced to hit the road in what's dubbed as the Pleasant Valley Traveling Roadshow, where the maniacs head across country in hopes of gathering more victims. We'll follow a young TV crew called the Road Rascals as they find themselves mixed up in another one of the maniacs' deadly festivals. So, yeah, judging by the plot of the movie, Field of Screams makes no sense at all.
So, yeah, it's got a great plot. It's got a wonderful name. I mean, Field of Screams, that just conjures up.
I like 2001 Maniacs, the remake. Of course, this was a remake. The movie came out in, what, 2005, I think?
Mm-hmm.
2005, 2006, something like that. And did okay on home video, but, I mean, I think that its time has passed. As far as coming out with a sequel for it, I don't know if anybody would really care anymore. What do you think?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking when I read this. I was like, you know, Tim Sullivan really had a great opportunity to follow up 2001 Maniacs with another sequel right after that one. I mean, it was direct to DVD anyway. It wouldn't matter. Instead, he chose to do stuff like Driftwood and a couple other projects, I think, in the meantime. But that was the time for that to happen. I mean, now, so much shit has come straight to DVD now that has overshadowed that series, and nobody's going to pay any attention to that. I mean, you got, like, hardcore fans that might support Tim Sullivan, but I don't even think there's that many, I mean, at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, this movie, I believe, has been, we've been talking about this for years, you know, pretty much ever since the inception of the show. So, I mean, I don't know when this is going to come out, if it'll come out, but I think that, yeah, the time has passed for, because as far as 2001 Maniacs goes, it's one of those movies that was, it was kind of a cool thing to talk about at the time, but it just quickly died off. Like, you don't hear anybody really reference it anymore.
Yeah. So, Field of Screams. If you name it, it is dumb.
That's totally fucked up, because I was getting ready.
I know you were. Like, we both had the same idea at the exact same time.
Maybe the little girl in this one, instead of choking on a hot dog, she can choke on a dick.
Okay, so for some reason, John Carpenter has decided to come out of his crypt or hyperbaric chamber or whatever it is that he's
game room
living in now, and start to make a lot more films, because he's got The Ward coming out, but he's also, according to this story, getting behind the camera for Fangland, a film set up as a starring vehicle for Hilary Swank. It says she will play a TV producer who travels to Romania for an interview with a notorious European arms dealer, which turns out he's a modern-day Dracula. John Marks, writer of the novel, is a former 60 Minutes producer. Mark Wheaton of The Messengers penned the previous draft, and Carpenter is in post-production right now on The Ward, which stars Amber Heard, and he will soon take over on Fangland. Folks,
that's a horrible name for
it. It is. It reminds me of Strangeland, which reminds me of Dee Snider, which reminds me of the most annoying ass creature that I can think of. Yeah. But.
And faggotry.
Also, like, please, like, with Paranormal Activity coming out, I can already see the fucking writing on the wall, which is, we're going to have to put up with a year at least of these shitty ass fucking ghost movies. That one with Mila Jovovich is already out. That, I forget the name of it now, like 4 minutes or four or something, where it's like actual footage of people that are supposedly possessed by ghosts or something like that, and that's used in the film. I don't want to suffer three more goddamn shitty vampire movies. I'm sick of the Twilight, and I'm sick of this kind of shit. I don't want any ghost movies.
Vampires!
The two trends are handheld, supposedly real ghost.
We haven't seen Paranormal Activity yet, so.
I don't want it. No. No. I hate ghost movies. Ghost movies are the most boring shit ever.
Not always.
When are they not?
Actually, there's a ghost movie that I reviewed on today's 13 Horrors for Halloween. That's an old one that I actually thought was pretty good.
Shut up.
Buddy, whatever, motherfucker, whatever.
But somebody did make a good point, which is, I think it was Kim that said on the boards, if you don't believe in ghosts, then that kind of shit's not going to scare you at all. I mean, if you actually believe in ghosts, then those kind of movies are going to scare the piss out of you.
I still believe.
I think what sealed it for me, though, was, like, I stopped believing in ghosts after all those ghost hunters, ghost adventurers, ghost incarcerators.
Look, buddy, ghosts may very well exist, okay? They can't help it for all these crooks out there trying to make money off of, you know, the apparitions that they make up. You know, the way I look at it is this. I think, you know, and who's to say that spirits of some sort don't exist? Here's the thing, though. I don't believe in any of that bullshit that they put on TV. I think there's a big difference between that and, like, you know, because there's a lot of people are find it odd that we were fans of, like, Unsolved Mysteries and stuff like that, but not fans of this ghost hunter shit. To me, there's a big difference between those movies and those shows. I'm sorry. Unsolved Mysteries was like something meant to entertain you, you know. They would reenact a lot of the stuff that supposedly happened. So you can leave it up to your imagination whether or not this happened or not. The Ghost Hunters, all that stuff is just following these retards around. And they come up with just the stupidest shit for proof. Like, you'll see, like, some sort of burned-in image on a picture or something that looks like a light. It's just reflecting off of the lens. And they're like, oh, God, look at that. That's a spirit right there. Look at that.
Well, it's kind of like an extended show version of the people that find, you know, the Mary in their fucking grilled cheese sandwich or something like that. Like,
yeah.
Everybody really knows that that stuff's not real, like that they don't ever really catch anything on those shows. They don't ever really get any But for some reason, people just continue to watch that. And you think, how many of those fucking shows are there? There's like 20 different Ghost Hunter shows. They've probably been filming like all year that they would catch something on one of those shows where you could be like, oh, that's a ghost. No! Nothing!
Yeah, it is something else to think about. I mean, of all these shows, the hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage that they, is there somebody actually fucking trying to mow their grass out there?
Somebody's got a weed eater going on.
It's going to be dark here in about 20 minutes. But yeah, I mean, all the hundreds and hundreds of hours of footage, they've never really caught anything, you know, so that should tell you something.
I do like the idea.
They're crooks.
I like the idea that the one guy's had of just locking themselves in, like, random places overnight and stuff.
Oh.
I won't do that.
We're going to lock ourselves in an old flea market.
Lock myself in the shitter.
Chain yourself to an old table or something. Oh!
Oh, God.
Anyway, there's a lot of rumors going around about Friday the 13th, part 2 in 3D. That really makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Derek Mears confirmed this past weekend at the Rock and Shock convention that he'll be joining the cast of Robert Rodriguez's produced Predators. But he was also asked about reprising the role of Jason in the 3D Friday the 13th part 2 for Warner Brothers. They've actually announced already Friday, August 13th, 2010. Mears said that he's been talking to production company Platinum Dunes, and they've still not greenlit the film yet. So they can't offer any roles to anybody because we're not officially a go project. he said, I don't claim to understand what goes on the studio side, but I get most of my information from the internet like everyone else, so it's kind of amusing when I get asked questions and I have to answer them. So what would Mears like to see Jason do in the second film? He said, murder teenagers, by God, murder teenagers.
I mean, so, what's how do you answer that question? What you'd like to see Jason do in the second
film? I'd like to see Jason beat the shit out of somebody.
I'd like to see him read Crime and Punishment and then play a game of chess. What the fuck is he going to do?
What do you think, though? Friday the 13th, part 2 in 3D?
I don't care about 3D because we're never going to get to see it in 3D, so it doesn't matter at all to us. Which it does kind of matter because it's actually worse for us because they'll make the film tailor-made for 3D, which we'll never get to see it in. So
well, here's another thing, too, though. I mean, when you watch the movie, movies like that are basically worthless for home video, too. I mean, you can't really watch it the way it was meant to be seen because the 3D don't work on home TVs.
Yeah, so, I'm not really even looking forward to the movie, regardless of whether or not it's in 3D or not, but, I mean, that doesn't...
You're not?
No. That doesn't affect us either way.
The more I think about it, though, I mean, of all the Platinum Dunes productions, I will say that the Friday the 13th remake was easily the best one they've done. Just because that formula is just so hard to fuck up, man. I mean, you could just... I mean, Marcus Nispel, we all know the talent that guy has. Even he had a hard time fucking that
he
up.
He tried really hard, though. Yeah. I mean, he gave it a go. Okay, so here's another franchise that I thought for sure, like, this would fade off into the sunset, but apparently not. The Scary Movie franchise. There's a website that's reporting that the Weinstein Company is planning on rebooting the Scary Movie franchise. They claim that the Weinsteins are still planning on making Scary Movie 5, which will be released after Scream 4, for obvious reasons. So, they're going to... How the hell do you reboot a series that just essentially makes fun of other movies?
I actually think it'd be a pretty hilarious idea to make fun of all the remakes that's coming out.
Well, I mean, why the hell would they want to reboot it, though? It's just fucking keep doing it. That's the thing. Once they get... Here's the thing I've noticed. Once these companies get to, like, a certain number of sequels, like 5, they always got to be, oh, we're going to look like this shit's getting stale. We got to reboot the fuck out of this now.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Scary Movie, like, I don't know how you would even reboot that, because all they were doing were making fun of the horror movies that came out at the time. And now nobody would get that if they were making fun of movies like Scream.
I'm guessing they mean by reboot that they're going to change the cast. Which, like, the Wayans brothers and people like that probably won't have anything to do with it.
Get rid of the fucking Wayans brothers. Those guys suck.
Because people really don't know who the fuck those people are now. Like, that was a product of the 90s.
I can never figure out how those fucking idiots. I have never thought they were funny. They were never, like, just for the hell of it, I tried watching White Chicks one night. I could not believe that any studio spent a dime on something that stupid. And then they go from that with Little Man, which is even more retarded.
Oh, the one where he was a baby.
Where he was a midget pretending to be a baby. I just, oh God, that's just awful.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to take a break, but we will be back after the newest edition, Uncle Bill, of Back
to the Future.
Hello everyone, I'm Adam, and after a 2-week hiatus, Dead Pit has returned, and so has Back to the Future. This week back in 1982, Universal Studios released Tommy Lee Wallace's underrated and underappreciated classic, Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, in 1,297 theaters. The movie opened number 2 at the weekend box office, taking in $6.3 million. A lack of Michael Myers and a rather annoying Happy Halloween jingle led to this film getting poor reviews from both critics and fans. And when word of mouth spread, the film was pulled from theaters after only 3 weeks on the big screen. In 1986, De Laurentiis Entertainment Group released Trick or Treat, featuring rock legends Gene Simmons and Ozzy Osbourne.
That's black magic, man. Believe me, I've seen that before.
The film opened number 5 at the weekend box office, taking in $2.9 million. The following year, 1987, Universal Studios released John Carpenter's Prince of Darkness. The film was released in 1,239 theaters and debuted number 2 at the weekend box office, taking in $4.6 million.
10 years ago, on the night of October 31st, a small Midwestern town fell victim to an escaped killer. Under the cover of darkness, he carried out the most horrifying mass murder on record. 16 people in cold blood.
In 1988, having seen the success of other franchise sequels, such as A Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th, Galaxy International released Halloween 4, The Return of Michael Myers, in 1,679 theaters. The movie opened number 1, taking in $6.8 million its opening weekend, and more than tripled its production cost when all was said and done. In 1991, Taurus Entertainment released the Dario Argento, George Romero joint, Two Evil Eyes, in 150 theaters. The film took in over $260,000 its opening weekend, coming number 17 at the weekend box office. This is a great movie that features veteran actors such as Adrian Barbeau, Tom Atkins, Harvey Keitel, and a very young Julie Benz. Check it out if you haven't already. In other films released this week, and there is a fucking ton of them, so let me quickly go through these. In 1992, Universal Studios released everyone's favorite, Dr. Giggles, which opened number 7, taking in $2.7 million. In 1996, Paramount released Stephen King's Thinner, which opened number 3, taking in $5.6 million. In 1999, Destination Films released Bats, starring Lou Diamond Phillips. The movie opened number 7 at the weekend box office, taking in $4.7 million. In 2001, 20th Century Fox released Alan Moore's graphic novel film adaptation, From Hell, starring Johnny Depp. From Hell opened number 1, taking in over $11 million its opening weekend. In 2002, Ghost Ship opened number 3, taking in $11.5 million. In 2004, The Grudge opened number 1, taking in $39.1 million. In 2007, Sony released one of the best horror films of the decade, 30 Days of Night, starring Josh Harnett. The film opened number 1, taking in $15.9 million. And finally, last year, Lionsgate released a film that I have no interest in ever watching, Saw 5, which opened number 2 at the weekend box office, taking in $30 million. The fact that this low-budget horror effort tripled its production budget in its first weekend is enough to ensure that we'll be seeing another Saw film every year for the next 50 years, I'm sure. Anyway, I'm Adam Beck, and this has been Beck to the Future for the week of October 19th.
Peter and Sean. And if you don't listen to deadpigs.com, you can go fuck a punch bowl.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentuckian here. I want to talk about Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Uncle Bill. We all know now that Lionsgate has control over Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And you know what they're going to do?
Nothing good.
They're going to reboot it again.
Oh, shit.
Producer Mark Berg reiterates that the upcoming reboot of Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise over at Lionsgate will definitely make the action set in present day. And we use a new story that takes some of the basic plot points of the original. So we can all look forward to that. Yes, this is going to be the third movie simply called Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Is that going to be confusing or what?
So they're actually going to reboot the franchise completely again?
Yeah.
So there's going to be three different series of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Exactly.
Man. Well, that'll be fine. I mean, I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I can have another Texas Chainsaw Massacre beside the other two ones I got. That'd be awesome.
I don't really think that you could make a worse film than Texas Chainsaw Massacre, The Beginning. I mean,
actually, I think the original remake was worse than The Beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Golly. I don't know.
I hadn't watched it again. Like, I think last year, I actually was like, shit, I want to watch this again. And it was actually worse than Texas Chainsaw Massacre The Beginning. I thought it was. I got a whole big rant on YouTube about it back when I watched it.
I don't know. At some point or another, though, they're going to have to stop. Well, no, they probably won't. Never mind.
Oh, shit, it's been at least, what, 6 years since the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake. It's been long enough. Maybe, though, like, instead of calling it Texas Chainsaw Massacre, they'll call it Texas Chainsaw Massacre Reloaded or
something like that. Here's the thing. Why don't they just do this, then? They've got Saw every Halloween, so they're not going to fuck with that because that always makes a fortune. Let's have the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre series every Thanksgiving.
How about Leatherface versus Jigsaw? That could be the new.
How the fuck would that work? Is he going to tie Jigsaw or tie Leatherface up in like a trap or something?
He's like, hey, Leatherface, it's time to play games.
Leatherface. Oh! Anywho.
No.
Phantasm. On to another classic series.
Indeed.
It's the 30th anniversary of Don Coscarelli's original film, Phantasm. So, somebody did an interview with Coscarelli, which wasn't us, because Don Coscarelli's not doing any interviews right now. He's busy working on projects,
right,
which is odd.
He's not doing a fucking interview, is he?
Which is odd, because somebody got an interview with him. So he says, commenting about Phantasm and the possibility of a remake, he says, I get a phone call every week, it seems, from somebody who wants to do a film or do a remake of the film. It's something I've been resisting for a while. I do think that given the proper context, it would be really exciting to see what a younger filmmaker would bring to the story. It's something I'm open to, but I guess I'm seeking the right circumstances. It says, Tekashi McKay doing Phantasm, how would that be?
No.
It says, anything that would ever be done would have to be done with sensitivity to the appreciation that the fans have for it. They just worship Angus as the tall man and Reggie as the loyal, trusted friend.
Sure, everybody makes done with sensitivity to the original.
Yeah, yeah, look at Halloween. So, on the subject of another sequel, which is a big buzz right now, he says, it's something we've talked about through the years, but the timing hasn't worked out or getting the finances isn't exactly right. I've been cooking up a couple of incarnations of things that I can't talk about now, but hopefully in the near future we could get something in the Phantasm world happening. Angus Scrim, you better get something happening, crack-a-lacking soon, because Angus Scrim is just one step away from the grave, folks.
Oh, fuck. He ain't that bad. He's actually in good, I'd say he's in pretty good health for somebody his age. I mean, but as far as like being a villain in a movie, I mean, that's going to be kind of hard because he is like 80, he's in his 80s now. So, no, I don't see Angus ever being the tall man again. I'd be surprised if that ever happened. I mean, maybe they could do like they did, Arnold's face in, you know, the Terminator Salvation movie. Speaking of which, that's never come out, has it, on DVD or anything? That movie.
Did they just decide not to release it on DVD and Blu-ray?
I don't know. I think it's hilarious, though.
No.
Wouldn't be a good Dead Pit show, folks, if we didn't bring up our favorite torture porn filmmaker, Eli Roth. We got to bring him up, Uncle Bill. We haven't talked about him in a while. He actually said he's a month away from finishing the script for Endangered Species, the sci-fi feature that would mark his return to directing.
Oh, joy.
Since he was shelved for about 3 years now. Appearing at the Morelia International Film Festival, Roth added that he's penning the script for the horror flick Thanksgiving, which I think is probably the... It's kind of like the Friday the 13th thing. It's a script that's so basic. I don't know if even Eli Roth could fuck it up, but we will see, I guess. But the movie originally appeared as a trailer for Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez's Grindhouse, of course, and the hope of the filmmaker is to shoot the project back-to-back with Endangered Species going first. Now, he's also set to produce a project, The Man with the Iron Fist, with rapper-turned-director Robert Fitzgerald Diggs, a.k.a. Arza.
Oh! The RZA?
No, no, no!
The RZA? Is it RZA?
Yeah.
Okay. That's Wu-Tang, buddy. For life.
RZA, the Arza, the RZA.
Yeah.
While a third Hostel feature's in development. Roth isn't going to be involved in that, though. He said those people go fuck themselves because they leaked. See, the thing that screwed Hostel 2 and made it bomb at the box office is they leaked it out to the internet. And everybody that was going to go see it just watched it on the computer.
Really? I thought it was just because it sucked. Was that not it?
That wasn't it, buddy. Oh, okay. That wasn't it.
Okay.
How dare you?
I'm sorry. That's what I thought it was. Really, though, I thought, I mean, Eli, you got a good, promising acting career going after, you know, Inglourious Bastards. Why not pursue that? Why come back to filmmaking? I mean, you Quentin Tarantino loves you. Been in a film with Brad Pitt. You got credibility. You could be a leading actor in something. Please, just stay the hell away from directing films that I have to watch and possibly review.
Eli, we hear you talking how you want to direct a film, but all of your shit sucks ass and you can lick a rims.
Lick a rims?
It's just been a couple of years. Your movies all suck ass. Eli, shut the fuck up, you Jewish piece of trash. Jewish piece of trash. Don't spend some of your daddy's money, motherfucker.
That's a heart-filled ballad there.
Yeah, that was just the acapella version. The full version probably coming down the line.
Okay. Godzilla. I guess I could talk about that since nobody ever really talks about those films.
Okay.
On October the 21st, which is already passed, Eastern Eye, the Asian theatrical and home video division of Australian distributor Madman Entertainment, will release three DVD collections of classic Godzilla films. The sets collect 17 Godzilla movies that have been released individually by the DVD company before. With the exception of the new packaging, the new DVDs are identical in terms of the content to the previous releases, including special features such as original Japanese theatrical trailers, photo galleries, trivia, concept art, poster galleries. Each box set will be Region 4 and PAL format and will retail for around $50. So you can go pick up all those sons of bitches. That's 17 Godzilla films.
Your mommy not come to that Godzilla?
Godzilla?
Oh, look up that Godzilla! There's a couple of those some of those Godzilla movies, I remember when they used to show them, like, really, really late on, like, TBS or something back in the day, whatever it was. Those are just some of those movies, the same way with the Planet of the Apes movies or something. When you watch them, they're just so goddamn ridiculous, you think you're dreaming or something. I know that's the way to explain those movies. Like, the Godzilla movie that actually had the little baby Godzilla that,
Yeah,
it's just like, goddamn.
basically,
it's just ridiculous.
All those movies are exactly the same. It's like the first 30 to 45 minutes is just them explaining how like radiation has caused Godzilla and some other creature to come to life, and or the possibility of that is getting ready to happen, and they're trying to stop it. Then it's like Street Fighter 2, in that it's always like it's set in this little area where Godzilla and some other monster fight for like 20 or 30 minutes, and that's basically the whole film.
Godzilla!
Although those films do look better than that Tekken 6 shit.
Yeah. Let's talk about some more ridiculous films, though. The Saw sequels. Producer Mark Berg of Twisted Pictures recently had this to say. We're definitely making part 7. We're shooting it in January. It's going to be in 3D. I'm not shitting you. The storyline that we have started in 5 and carries through 6 ends in Saw 8. You heard that right. Saw 8. Where it goes beyond that, I couldn't tell you. In my mind, and Oren Kula's mind, we have a story threaded through part 8. I can't tell you if the franchise will continue after that. Because see, this is a very meticulous, detailed plot that began in part 5, Uncle Bill. It's going to continue to Saw 8. We're all going to be on the edge of our seats every year on Halloween.
Why don't they just do this? This would be a good tie-in for the movie, too. Let's just have Jigsaw get fascinated with the game Mousetrap, and then he can put one of them in that, like, in one of those
he can hide
homemade
one in his ass.
Mousetrap games, like a board game, and that'll be the whole setup for the movie. By the time it gets to part 10, they're going to need something like that. Hasbro can come in, they can get the rights to it, and they'll set it up to where, you know, at the end, somebody, little diver guy, gets knocked into a big bathtub full of acid.
I know, like, a lot of people compare this series to Friday the 13th, but here's the big difference, in my opinion. The Friday the 13th series, after, like, what, was it part 2 or 3 or something, they actually did take a break for a year. They didn't continue with, like, all 8 movies year after year after year. Another thing, it's like, to me at least, I mean, maybe I just can't understand the deep meanings behind these films.
Yeah.
All of the movies since part 4 have seemed exactly the same. Like, I mean,
well,
it's just like they're, like Jigsaw's dead. He's been dead since part 3. It seems like they're just, I don't know, grasping at straws or something. Like they haven't known what the fuck they were going to do since then. They knew they fucked up when they killed him off, I think.
Well, the one thing that I can say about the Friday the 13th series is, at least for the first 8, if you had never seen a Friday the 13th movie and you walked in on any of those sequels, you could follow it.
You'd get enjoyment out of
it. Yeah, you could follow it, and it would, as a standalone movie, it would make sense. These fucking Saw movies, I mean, unless you sit down before the next movie comes out and you rewatch the last 3 movies, you're not going to know what the hell's going on. I know that's what's going to happen if we go see Saw 6. I'm not going to know who the fuck's killing who and why and what, like the backstory with everybody's
that one
wives.
Guy looks like Michael Perry.
Yeah, that's who I thought it was. Yeah. Eddie and the Cruisers, like, guy, I don't know. Yeah,
who knows? But that is all I have for the news. You have anything else?
I don't got nothing.
Of course, opening nationally this weekend, Uncle Bill, we got to discuss it. It's Saw 6. Actually directed by Kevin Grootert, who never really directed anything before, but he did have a pretty legendary voice acting career. He played Tookie in George the Jungle 2.
Did he?
Yeah.
Tookie. That's good. Oh, God.
So he's going to be directing the new Saw movie, The Voice of Tookie in George of the Jungle 2.
Why?
Tookie, baby.
Tookie Williams. So I guess is that all? Okay.
That's all I've got, buddy.
So DVDs for October the 27th, next Tuesday, real close to Halloween. You've got Black Devil Doll, the official DVD release of Black Devil Doll. Dead Air, which is from, is starring Bill Moseley as a radio disc jockey, which kind of reminds me of that episode of Hitchhiker with Gary Busey in it, but I don't know if it's the same thing or not. Graveyard Disturbance, which a lot of people have been waiting for, is coming out from Maya Communication.
Maya?
The Living Dead at Manchester Morgue Blu-ray is coming out.
I got that.
Night of Death from Synapse Films.
I got that.
Night of the Creeps. Night of the Creeps. The DVD and Blu-ray from Sony is finally fucking coming out. It's the first time it's ever been available on anything ever in the history of the world. Night of the Creeps. Buy it. Now, if you haven't pre-ordered it, go out and
buy it. We've
already
bought our copies. We actually bought it.
Also, one we didn't get to see in theaters, but we probably should have considering some of the other shit we went and saw. Orphan. The DVD.
Bloody fuck you. I wanted to see that movie in theaters and you wouldn't go.
The DVD and Blu-ray of Orphan is coming out from Warner Brothers. And, finally, Stan Helsing, which I believe is from Anchor Bay, isn't it?
Yeah, and we'll probably be reviewing that at some point.
Which looks exactly like one of the scary movies, so I don't know.
It actually looks better, though, because it has, like, people dressed up as Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers and shit.
It's got Deora Bard in it, too, which, Anyway, that's your DVD releases for October 27th.
Yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a break. We will be back. We're going to have calls, fan questions. We've got a ton of fan questions and further horror goodness, I guess. So we will be back after this break here on DeadBeard.com.
George Romero, the master of horror, is about to bring you face to face with a shocking future. If you've seen Night of the Living Dead, you've already had the appetizer. Now get ready for the main course, Dawn of the Dead. A gruesome reminder that we are what we eat. Dawn of the Dead contains scenes of violence that may be considered shocking. No one under 17 will be admitted. From United Film Distributing Company.
Welcome.
Hello, folks.
To the amazing fan pit portion of the programming. I think we're going to be taking calls from now until the end of fucking time, probably.
That's right. We're going to try. Haven't had a phone-in portion in even longer amount than we've had a show. I don't know how long it's been, but we're going to bust that motherfucker out this week, aren't we, Uncle Bill?
We're going to hit it wide open, boys.
And we also have a fuck ton. The fan questions to get to. So let's go ahead and get started with that. And then as the phone calls come in, we'll be fucking taking them. What do you think of that?
Let's do it.
Cody LL. Hey, Cody, what's going on, baby? Says, hey, guys. Missed you over the last 2 weeks, I got to say. Got to have some dead pit at least once a week. Well, sorry, buddy. Love the interview with Frank Henlotter and Don Coscarelli's retrospective. Henlotter in particular seems like a pretty cool guy. I've never seen his films, not even the Basket Case movies, or Coscarelli's, but I want to now. That's shameful, sir. That's shameful that you haven't seen Basket Case, Brain Damage, Frankenhooker, or especially any of the Phantasm movies. So you get your ass to Walmart and buy them now.
I don't think you can buy any of those movies at Walmart.
I think you can get Phantasm, can you?
I don't think you can even get that. You're going to have to order that shit, buddy. What's wrong with you?
Order it. What kind of horror fan are you, buddy? It says, this Saturday I'm heading to Pigeon Forge to attend my first convention ever. There's actually a...
Dollywood!
A convention in Pigeon Forge?
He's going to Dollywood, but don't let him lie.
Adventure calling, is what he says. I'm going mainly because of Kane Hodder and Derek Mears. I've got close to $400 that I plan on spending at the convention and a lot of creamy horror goodness on DVD. My question is... Are Kane Hodder and Derek Mears friendly, cool guys to meet?
Well, Kane Hodder is probably like one of the nicest guys you ever meet. Well, we've never met Derek Mears, so I don't know. I've always heard, like, everybody who's ever met that guy said that he was, like, one of the nicest guys.
Yeah. I've heard a lot of people say it's just sort of bizarre how nice he is, especially looking at him, like, how, like, menacing he actually looks. He's like, they say he's, like, one of the nicest guys. I've never met him, though. Also says here that I'm interested in buying Cannibal Holocaust, but I don't like the animal cruelty.
Well, you'd be shit out of luck, then.
Yeah, you better not get any version of Cannibal Holocaust, because you can't block any of that stuff off, and that's what he's asking. So,
Is he asking if there's a version of it that doesn't have that in it?
Yeah.
No.
No. He's also saying, asking here, are these DVDs worth buying? The Scream Triple Pack, the Monster Squad DVD, the new editions of American Werewolf in London, and the three-disc DVD Rob Zombie's Halloween, and the newest Silence of the Lambs DVD.
Actually, all of those, including the Halloween remake DVD, are worth buying.
Yeah.
And I say that because the special features in the documentary on the Halloween remake alone is worth that.
Here's the thing, though. Here, and this is the only one that I would advise you not to get because there's going to be a better one come out soon when Scream 4 comes out. The Scream Triple Pack is old. They've never come out with a newer edition of that. And the original Scream is non-anamorphic. So I would hold off on that one because I'm sure a better version of that's coming soon whenever Scream 4 comes out. But the other ones are really good.
I advise you, though, if you're a fan of documentaries on horror films, to get the new American Werewolf in London one and the Halloween one for sure.
Mm-hmm. So let's see who we got here.
Hello, you're on Deputy Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Pretty June.
What's going on, sir? Is this Canada?
Yeah, man. Oh. Friggin' Nova Scotia.
Ooh, Canada.
I know you hate me. And by the way, guys.
I don't hate you, man. No. I'm home of fucking Kraft dinner. You gotta love that shit.
Anytime I wrote in a question, you guys always said I was gay, so thanks a lot. I live with my girlfriend.
I think it had more to do with the name.
Yeah, where did the...
Yeah.
I gotta ask, where did the name come from?
I think it was actually... I don't know, I'll probably sound like a fag regardless, or whatever. I don't know. How are you guys? Anyways, good?
You were just stoned one night.
Yeah, I was crying myself to sleep and, you know, writing poems for you guys. Yeah. Anyways.
We're pretty good. We're getting into the Halloween spirit a little bit. Been watching films like Trick or Treat lately that have kind of inspired us somewhat.
Yeah, I heard that's pretty good. I haven't had a chance to see it yet.
Yeah, I would definitely advise check. I mean, probably the perfect movie to watch on Halloween, actually, because the whole movie runs through Halloween. It's just got some great visuals. And I think Uncle Bill actually has a new video up with a more detailed review. We're doing... 13 horrors for Halloween. We're reviewing a new movie every day until Halloween. So I think he's got a detailed review up on YouTube of that if you want to check it out.
Yeah, I think I actually seen it. It looked really cool. So is there a question this week or a topic or whatever? Or?
Oh, it's always off topic now. We just bullshit about whatever.
Yeah, we're too lazy to even come up with topics.
You can ask us.
I mean, there's so much going on in the horror world right now. I mean, just... You know, of course, the new Saw movie is coming up. I know everybody's excited about that. You know, the return of Jigsaw yet again after, you know, 365 days.
Who can't fucking wait? We heard about his return more than Christ. But
he never gets sick of playing those games.
Yeah. No, like, I don't know. Like, I admire the fact that it's every year, but on the other hand, it's shit. Like, if I was ever going to, like, kill myself, that's the kind of feelings I think I'd have watching that there show.
Well, you know what's so funny, though? I don't know if they're going to do it this year, but for the past couple of years, Lionsgate has promoted a Saw marathon leading up to the newest Saw movie. So, Saw 1 through 5, and then seeing yet another Saw movie, that's like hell on earth, man, to me. I mean, I don't know how anybody
it's like one time every year somebody promised you they'd kick you in the balls. That's kind of the same effect that those movies have on me.
What's somewhat amazing about those movies is, though, is they keep making money. Like, the last one was the most successful so far of all the sequels, from what I understand. So, it's just insane. Well, people keep going to see these movies.
I suppose it's the only series on the go, really. You know? Like, and not that that's set up a lot for it, but I can't think of any other modern horror series, like, that are happening, you know?
Yeah, it is the only one that seems to get, like, the teens and young people involved in the only series, anyway. There's nothing else that even, I don't even think that even comes close to that. I mean, by the time it's over with, there'll be at least 8 of those movies. That's already confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, just think of it like this. When was the last time you saw a movie that was a sequel that went past, like, part 2 besides Saw? I mean, I can't really think of too many. So, I mean, you got I guess it has that going for it, but it's not really, I don't think it's really convincing any of these other studios to move forward with other sequels for horror franchises, because we were talking about earlier that they're going to reboot the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise yet again.
So, haven't they done that like 3 times in like 5 years?
Yeah, this will be the 3rd time.
That's
so
brutal.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the thinking is with that. But, I mean, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. But,
sorry to interrupt. I didn't mean to. What's your guys' favorite movies, I guess, to watch Halloween? Like, what's your ritual movies?
Oh, Jesus.
Besides Halloween.
Yeah, besides Halloween. We normally tried to, like, mix it up. Like, we would keep master lists of all the films that we watched each Halloween. That way that we wouldn't ever repeat the shit that we watched.
Mm-hmm.
So we did that for a while. I don't know if we're even going to do that this year or not. I don't know what the status of that is. But, like, normally it's always something like you want to put a Fulci film in there somewhere. You want to have, like, some sort of zombie film in there and a slasher film. It goes more by the genre of films. Like, you want to have a good mix of genres in there. You want to get a slasher, zombie film, some sort of exploitation, some sort of, like,
something new, too, that you haven't seen.
Something new.
Because before we started the show, I mean, this was always a huge thing for us. We would be preparing for these, you know, these movie lists until we just completely run it into the ground, man. We were watching like 7-8 movies on one night, and it just fucking like, I don't know, it just killed us after a while. So we don't really do that as much anymore. I mean, we had a little mini one the other night watching a couple of movies. But as far as like, I mean, movies just get you in the spirit of Halloween. There's one that, I reviewed, I guess it'll be on today when people hear this, that not a lot of people know about. Lady in White is a, independent, sort of like an independent movie that came out in the mid-80s. And, it's a pretty cool ghost movie, and it's set around Halloween. So that's a pretty cool one to watch. I would, advise people to check that one out.
But what about you, though? Do you have, like, certain ones that you watch?
I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously, I kind of like watching the slasher films more for Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, I think my favorite is Halloween 4. I don't know why. I think it was the first Halloween I seen when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those nostalgia things. I just watch it every year for some fucking weird reason.
Well, the cool thing about that one, too, is like the opening title sequence. Just the visuals of that is really, it gets you in the mood for Halloween, I guess, or just captures the spirit of that time of year, you know?
And it was kind of a return to Halloween 3 is great, but it's obviously, since it has nothing to do with Michael Myers, it's not, you know, it's not consistent with the rest of the series.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I always really liked number 4. I think number 1 and 4 were great.
Hmm. Cool. Well, man, we appreciate you calling in. We're going to try to take a few more phone calls, but it's good to hear from you. And you know, it's. I think, is this the first time you're calling in?
Yeah, it's my first go. I'll probably lose my apartment with the amount it'll cost me to call you guys. But you know.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time out, and you know, paying for the bill, I guess, the phone bill. But
yeah, my girlfriend will fucking kill me.
All right, man. Well, it was good talking to you, and you have a happy Halloween.
Yeah, you too, boys.
All right.
Stay warm in Canada, sir.
Yeah, later on.
See you. I know certain areas in Canada, it's sort of like the United States, that I guess are a lot cooler than other areas.
Oh,
like,
shit.
What is it, Vancouver up on the...
Mm-hmm.
The west coast of Canada, I guess.
Where do you say he's from? Nova Scotia?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
I have no clue where the hell that is. So, that's
okay. Where are we at here? I'm going to go with Drunken Bubba here.
Drunken Bubba.
He says, CK and Uncle Bill, the Coscarelli retrospective was damn good, and all I could think about was it's about time, and I'm in total agreement that Phantasm is among the best of horror's golden age, and the franchise as a whole just doesn't get the respect that it deserves. My question is Phantasm related. It says, recently FearNet has reported that a new possible Phantasm project was in the works and that it could possibly be released as a webisode. Do you think there's any truth to this, or is it just a possible way of Coscarelli trying to drum up interest or financing for Phantasm V? Or is all of this just internet bullshit and wishful thinking?
I've heard about this under the radar for about a year that he's working on something. I'm thinking it's something online, the webisode thing. I think that's probably going to happen. But as far as like a feature-length project, I just don't see how he can do it. Because the studios, I don't see any of the studios being interested in doing that now. It's just, I mean, even the company that owned the mainstream rights back in the day, Universal, they didn't even want to do Phantasm 3 after Phantasm 2 actually made them a pretty good amount of money. So I don't know. I don't see that happening.
Well, today somebody was passing around a picture that has been on the web for a little while, but it's gotten more interest recently, of Reggie Bannister kind of starring in the, what a lot of people think is the webisode mm-hmm. of Phantasm 5 or something that they were going to do for the fan. I guess it wouldn't be Phantasm 5. It'd be like a...
I can flat out tell you that something like that is happening. I mean, he is working on something like that, because I can't tell you who I heard that from, but I have heard that.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that picture's from that or what. They actually went so far as filming it.
Well, it's obvious that he's playing Reggie in it, because he's got the fucking flannel shirt on and the ponytail tie back. I mean, it's...
He is Reggie, though.
Yeah, but I mean, Reggie from that film.
Yeah.
I don't think they'll ever do Phantasm 5, though. Not the Phantasm 5 that people would think, because that cast will never be able to do that.
True that. I got a couple of things I want to mention real quick here from Arrowhead. Do you guys ever consider doing an in-depth interview with Jay Real or the cast from Dawn? Have you ever thought about doing that, Uncle Boo?
Really? Like, how many times have we talked to Jay Real, though? Like,
well,
I mean, we have done that.
Yeah, we've talked to him about the movie. Yeah. And he's got videos talking about the movie with him and Ray Boucher. I mean, and Dawn has been out for like 3 years now. So I don't know, But hell, if people want us to do it, I mean, people can give us feedback. I don't know. Dream Warrior wants to know. What he says, everyone knows how we feel about Fangoria, but he wants to know how we feel about Rue Morgue and Horrorhound Magazine. He says, personally, I like both magazines.
Yeah, I like them both. I think that I like Horrorhound a little bit better because it tends to go toward the collectible side, and I care more about the articles. I think that Rue Morgue gets a little bit too...
uppity.
gets a little bit too artsy for its own good sometimes with a lot of the Victorian-style painting and, like...
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the stuff that they have to do with art and old, like, they had one retrospective on old photos, like death photos and stuff like that. A lot of that stuff just doesn't appeal to me, but I can kind of see why they do it.
Well, here's the thing, too. Rue Morgue magazine's $10 now. It's $10 an issue. I'm not going to buy that. I like those guys. I don't have a problem. They've helped us out. Stuart Andrews is a fan of the show. He listens to the show all the time. I don't have a problem with those guys. I'm not going to spend $10 for a magazine. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm surprised that there's enough people to do it to keep that magazine around, because the magazine isn't getting any bigger, but it's the price is going up, That's the only problem I have with it. I think Whorehound's fairly priced. The subscriptions, we both have a subscription to Whorehound.
I don't know how much a subscription is to Rue Morgue, though. I mean, how much more is Whorehound, or how much more is Rue Morgue than Whorehound, like on an individual?
I know Whorehound's like $6.95 an issue, and Rue Morgue's $9.95.
Yeah,
just
the idea of paying $10 for a magazine fucking boggles the mind, really.
For a magazine, $10. I mean, you can get novels for $10. I the last Rue Morgue magazine I got was the Blair Witch retrospective, and it was a great issue. I love the magazine, but $10 an issue, I was like, really? That is $10.15 or something like that total. I was kind of pissed off. I paid that, actually. So let's take another phone call. Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio with the Creepy Kentuckian and Uncle Bill. Who's this?
This is Steve-O.
Oh,
God.
Steve!
What's up?
Not too much, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. Just got off work, so I'm happy as hell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because I often talk to you, your last hour of work, usually. And, You say you're always just waiting until 8 o'clock so you can fucking leave.
Yep, that's pretty much the standard thing.
It's been a long while since I've talked with you, though. What the hell's been going on?
Not much. Just the same old stuff. Nothing too exciting going on in Steve's world.
That'd be a good idea. You could change the name from your occult to Steve's World. There you go.
Yeah. Just sit around and pitch.
Yeah, just have your, you could alter the Wayne's World logo and just put Steve in the place of Wayne. But I know you've been watching all kinds of shit for Halloween, getting you in the mood to, you know, the spirit, I guess. What kind of stuff would you recommend people watching this Halloween that you've checked out?
Well, I mean, honestly, I like watching stuff that's older. I mean, I always like to watch all the old Universal movies and stuff like that because that reminds me when I was a kid on Halloween. And, you know, stuff that kind of fits in that vein. Like, you know, I heard Uncle Bill talk about Waxworks and, you know, stuff that kind of echoes that kind of feeling.
Right.
Yeah, there's, you know, now that I think about it, more, like, Waxwork did kind of feel like one of those Amicus fucking anthology movies. I don't know why more people don't see that movie as, like, an anthology. That's really what it is. I mean, it is a movie as well, but it's just a series of short little films in one movie.
Yeah, absolutely. It is an anthology, And I like the way it breaks it up, and then you get all the kind of genres of all those type of older movies, like Dracula, Frankenstein. Well, I'm not sure about Frankenstein, but you get The Mummy and Wolfman.
Well, yeah, towards the end, they're all in it. I mean, when the waxwork actually comes alive and everything, like, all those creatures are in it in some way or another.
Something I always remember, though, we were talking to Zach Galligan about the movie, and I don't know if it was actually in the interview or after we got done with the interview, we were talking to him. We were talking about Anthony Hickox, and I know you remember this as well.
Yeah.
That is the luckiest motherfucker on the planet. He was talking about during the shooting of that movie, he was fucking Michelle Johnson and, wasn't it Debbie?
Deborah Foreman.
Deborah Foreman.
Woo, baby.
That's a fucking...
That's a threesome right there.
Oh.
All there, all right.
Son of a bitch. Yeah, Michelle Johnson, for one thing, that's one of the hottest women that's ever lived. You know, and Deborah Foreman's not too bad either.
No. Deborah Foreman, now she's doing yoga, but she can stretch all over you. Put her ankles behind her head.
She'll get in a spider position for you.
Yeah, she'll get in a fucking white locust or whatever it is that they do.
You know, some pretzel on you.
Yeah. There's a lot of people, though, that do yoga, I hear, that actually drink their own urine. You heard about that?
No. I think you just made that up.
No. It actually cleanses. It's supposed to cleanse you or something like that.
Well, here, let me pee in your mouth and we'll see if that
I'm
works.
I'm not into yoga, motherfucker. I'm not.
Oh, God. I don't know how you segue out of that, really.
Something I wanted to talk to you about, Steve, though. And you know, I mean this all sincere, you know, because L1, the guy that used to supply you with Blu-rays, actually got a Blu-ray player himself. And I just wanted to send out my condolences, you know, because I love getting free Blu-rays, and I know that it must suck ass not to get them anymore. So.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I may get some more, but, you know, there's going to be less since there's, you know, I don't blame him for one bit. So I got a Blu-ray player, and I'm getting free Blu-rays. I'm probably going to keep most of them, so.
That's true. I know that I don't give hardly. I think there was a couple that I actually sent out to somebody, like the French Connection and shit like that. But that's been pretty much
it.
Yeah, you're stingy with your Blu-rays.
I'm the only one that fucking reviews them on there.
Oh, have you, real quick though, have you had a chance to see Trick or Treat yet, Steve?
Yeah.
What were your thoughts?
Well, I mean, it's a pretty good movie, but I mean, I think it's overhyped as far as like it's the greatest movie ever or something like that. I mean, I heard other people talk about the way it's laid out and stuff, and I think I, you know, like the way it's kind of, the stories are intertwined and they're not like, set stories and stuff like that. But, I mean, honestly, it's not the greatest thing in the world. I don't know. I just think people got that in their head.
The thing that I like about it is, though, is I think Warner Brothers are sort of like kicking themselves in the ass now because the movie, whether or not you like the movie or not, I mean, it's regardless. The movie has fucking hype out the ass, and it's hard to fucking find in stores.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure they're thinking, fuck, why the fuck didn't we release this in theaters this time of year? And I would have almost guaranteed if you would have done the right TV spots for it, because the movie just has a feeling of Halloween. It's something that people would want to go see this time of year. I would be very surprised if it didn't do at least decent at the box office.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, though. I think that the amount of hype that that movie has, you could never really live up to anyway. And if you go into it thinking that it's going to be like the next Creepshow or something, you're probably going to be really, really disappointed.
But it's a lot like Creepshow, though, I thought.
But as a movie, though, it's like a really, I think it's a really solid movie. It's just not like the end-all, be-all of films like people say it is.
I'm sure what the problem was with Warner Brothers is they were looking like, we don't have any stars in this. Who are we going to hype around that's in this? And that's always what these studios are thinking. But a movie that's built like Trick or Treat was built, you don't really need stars in it. I mean, I don't think. So.
Well, I was noticing like where like they sell it at Walmart and stuff. If you got a movie and it's called Trick or Treat.
Son of a bitch.
And it's in a Walmart around Halloween. You know people are going to buy it. Little kids and mothers of teenagers. Just anybody that has a movie has a name like that, it's going to get bought just because people around Halloween, they want to watch at least one movie like that. It's got pumpkins and shit all over it. It looks like Halloween. Sounds like Halloween. I don't know. It's good marketing.
The lead kid in it's a goddamn pumpkin come to life. It's after you. I mean, fuck. But I really like the movie quite a bit, actually. I mean, it did. I will agree with you about the hype, but it's just, it doesn't seem like anything that would come out now is the thing I would say about it. I mean, it's just something straight out of the...
Straight out of Compton.
Straight out of the 80s, early 90s.
Well, what's with all the studios? They're being such pussies about releasing horror movies opposite Saw. I don't understand what the big... You know, Saw is like shitty as hell. I know it brings in money, but there should be at least one alternative to that during Halloween.
I'm just curious about, like, studios, like, how it is that they release shit like Sorority Row, but they won't release stuff like Trick or Treat. Like, nobody knew what the hell Sorority Row was. That movie was awful.
Here's the thing, though. Sorority Row had Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. It had the, what was that chick's name? Debbie Moore? Or
what's fucked up, though? I was, like, looking in the
news. Rumor Willis.
Yeah, Rumor Willis.
In the newspaper. Carrie Fisher is just 52 years old. How the fuck? That bitch looks like she's about 70.
She looks good for her age, yeah.
Does she?
Yeah.
I'm going to blow your head off, you motherfucker. Anyway, Steve, we appreciate you calling. But,
all right, man.
We're going to take some more phone calls, and you have a happy Halloween, even though you ain't going to have any more free Blu-rays for a while.
Go keep bringing that shit up.
All right, I'll be crying over my candy corn, I guess.
All right. Well, we'll see you, brother.
Bye. Bye, fellas.
This is our good buddy, Steve.
Okay, what in the hell? We got to read some fan questions here.
Let's read some fan questions. We got a lot.
What the fudge? Okay, this is from Cthulhu4U. He says, I know you guys have been taking some shit and feeling bad about some stuff related to the show lately. I just want to tell you to just keep being the way you are and not sweat it.
Don't. Stop believing.
I know that nobody wants to hurt a fan's feelings, but I'd say 8 out of 10 people on here get you and won't be offended by a little ribbing. I also wanted to pass along my own little deadbeat story. I think your next show on which this will probably be read is October the 23rd. That will have been my dad's 67th birthday, but he passed away on July. I was having a really hard time with it because I live away from where he is and haven't got to see him as much as I would have liked to over the last few years. My wife was very supportive, but one thing that made me smile that whole long week was listening to a few of your old shows on the drive back to my old hometown. I don't see well enough to drive, so I just was kind of sitting and thinking about things and listening to my MP3 player. As bad as I felt, I still was cheered up a lot by CK and Uncle Bill and the funny stuff they were saying. I know you guys don't know me except through the site, but I feel that you've helped me through a tough time, and now that you're having one, I want you to know that I've got your back. If you ever need anything from me, don't hesitate to ask. Thanks, Cthulhu, for you. Well, sir, all we want from you is your undying love and appreciation.
That's right. And buy a t-shirt. No. I mean, that's a really cool letter. I mean, the thing about the show that people don't get, a couple people don't get, we are just doing this to have fun. You know, the stuff that we say on here, sometimes we may very well mean it, but it's all in good fun, folks. You know, we talk about shitting on chess, Uncle Bill bleaching his asshole. I think it's kind of funny. I mean, maybe I'm just warped or something. That probably is the case.
Mm-hmm.
But all this stuff that we say is just fun. It's all, you know, giggles. Not doctor giggles, but, you know.
I mean, that is... There's been very few times, but at least a few times, where somebody has said that something that we did, you know, made them feel better and helped them through tough times. And I always think that that's like a great added benefit of doing this show, is that the people that do get it really seem to appreciate it. The people that don't get it seem to get pissed off. But we're not really doing it for the people that don't get it anyway, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said I don't want to change anything about doing this show. I don't want to censor myself. Because, look, I mean, look at it like this, folks. This is the internet. Life is too short to be nitpicking about every little thing and trying to get something out of something that's nothing, which is what a lot of people have been doing with this show. I mean, seems like they're dissecting some of the stuff that we do on here, which, Jesus Christ, folks, if you're doing that, you know, it's odd that I'm going to be telling you this, but get a goddamn life. Seriously.
Yeah, if you're dissecting this show, God almighty, you're in for a fucking rude awakening.
No.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who may I say is calling?
Hey, SFX from the board.
Well, what's going on, man? I see on here that you're calling from the United Kingdom.
Yeah, that's true.
Really? What time is it over there? It's like, what, is it 7 hour or 5 hour or something like that, delay?
Yeah, it's about 5 hours.
Oh, wow.
So it's 1:27 here.
Well, that's not too bad, then.
Well, shit the bed. What do you want to talk about today, sir?
I'm a little bit mellow right now because just smoking some weed.
All right.
Well, good deal.
No, I'm actually from Scotland.
Okay. So you're calling? You're calling from Scotland.
Remember the last time you had a Scottish person on the phone?
Oh yes.
So wait a minute. You sound Scottish, but you're trying to keep from sounding Scottish because you're talking to us. Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're doing a damn good job. Really, you sound like you're from fucking Minnesota or something.
Yeah. I mean, I was thinking, like, I see the guy. He has a number from the United Kingdom, but he doesn't even have an accent that much. So that's pretty good.
Well, actually, I don't really sound that Scottish in real life, probably.
Cool. But you're the guy, though, that actually you do the silicone masks that I've seen. Those things are freaking amazing, man. I mean, how did you get started doing that?
I don't do any masks. I don't know how you got that.
What did you say your name was on the board?
SFX.
Oh, okay. I must be getting you confused with somebody else. I thought that you did the masks.
Oh, you can say that I did that.
Oh, okay.
We'll say that. It'll make you look better.
So what have you been watching while you've been getting high down there? Have you been watching any movies?
Not really. I was wanting to call in what you were doing for the last 2 weeks, left me hanging with nothing to do.
You want to know what we've been doing since, why we haven't been having a show, right?
Yeah. Well, fucking nothing to do in this shitty
Well, we apologize.
We're sorry. Yeah, it's our bad.
last week we were actually planning on doing a commentary, but I actually came down with a case of the strep throat, and I'm still sort of recovering from that. But Uncle Bill's doing a, what are you doing, some sort of exam or something?
Yeah, I had a prostate exam that I had to go to, and it was a... It was a tricky procedure.
Yeah, you had the first one, and they couldn't find your prostate at first. And then the next...
They called you in because they know how good you are at finding men's prostates. Yeah.
I thought Uncle Bill would have some work experience with some 30-year-old junkie whore with a new baby.
What?
What was that?
I thought Uncle Bill, since I've got the documentary...
Mm-hmm.
I know what Uncle Bill does, so I thought it'd be like doing work experience with some junkie whore with a new kid.
Yeah.
No, not recently. It was only a shady past of mine.
He just takes advantage of them people.
Yeah.
Of those junkie whores. But, yeah. Man, we definitely appreciate you calling in. It's good to hear from somebody from another land. For sure. And we can actually understand you pretty well, you know. The other guy, is there like, I've heard that there's different, like, of course, I'm sure there is, like, we're sort of hillbillies here in America. There's different dialects in Scotland, I'm sure, as well. Like, that guy had some sort of hillbilly Scottish dialect, I think, the other guy that called in.
Yeah. So, I was wanting to ask you about your favorite story about it, all the crazy people that live in your town you talk about, but I guess you're telling me to fuck off.
The crazy people that live in our town. Okay, you live in Scotland, so I'm quite positive you are United Kingdom or from Scotland or something, so I'm quite positive there's quite a few crazy fucking people where you're at. But is there anybody in particular that you wanted to know about?
Like, is there any, like, creepy old perverts or, like... Or something like that.
There is one guy that scares the living shit out of me, and I'll tell you why that is. He walks up and down the road around where we live every day, and he waves at every car that he sees, and he never really says anything. He looks like fucking a demented Lurch from the Addams Family, and it's just one of those people where you know for a fact that he's probably got some sort of past in either, like, pedophilia or bestiality or something like that. And that guy just fucking... Don't you think so? I mean, you know the guy I'm talking about.
Well, yeah. I mean, I just think the guy, he's one of those guys that's probably a little slow. There's a guy that we saw, I think when we were going to see Halloween 2, that sort of freaked me out because he was an older guy. Looked like he was in his 50s. And was sitting on the edge of his seat, you know, leaning over... acting like he was just getting ready to come all over himself as he's watching this movie, and he was saying, oh man, I want to see some killing, I want to see some blood and violence and stuff, and saying this stuff loud. And then he started yelling at me about El Super Beasto, because I was talking to somebody about another movie, and he asked, man, is El Super Beasto going to be really gory and bloody, and you're going to see a lot of, you know, death and chaos and stuff? Yeah. And he was, like, totally, like, serious about it.
That
all.
Guy definitely needed some of your weed. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, he was.
I actually have a story about there's this woman walking down the park. You know these 17-year-old women with half their hair falling out?
Mm-hmm.
And she was walking down, and every person that she met, she was shaking their hands, and, like, they were smiling. Then she went away, and they had a puzzled look on her face. And then she came up to me, and she shaking my hand, and she said, you know, my husband and my son lived here, and they're dead now. And then she walked away.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. She's going up to every person going, my husband and son lived here, they're dead now, and then walking away from them.
Wow. That is... Yeah, we don't have a lot of that around here. I mean, the good thing about this area is people usually leave you alone. You know, me and Uncle Bill go walking from time to time, and occasionally you'll run into somebody that's a little weird, but not that often. I mean, there's a drunk guy that used to stop me all the time and, you know, talk to me about how proud he was of me for walking and shit. I always thought that was strange.
I'm proud of you, buddy. Shit, I'm drunk.
I'm proud of you. But not a whole lot of that stuff. I mean, there's a lot of, like, I've been in bigger cities and homeless people aggravate the fuck out of you and stuff like that. But luckily around here, you know, it's they kind of leave you alone.
Most people around here, they speak in tongues, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Going,
I think the guy that called in the other, what was it, Mr. Blonde or whatever, I think he
was possessed by some sort of fucking ancient demon, I'm sure of it.
But, man, we appreciate you calling. We're going to try to take a couple more phone calls, but you have a happy Halloween and definitely call in more often. It's always good to talk to somebody in the UK.
Well, it's been an honor, and I'll get off and let some other people in.
All right, man.
Yeah, take
care,
take
sir.
It easy.
Bye.
Top of the morning, don't you? I'm not governor.
What the hell's wrong with us?
Mustard greens, Uncle Bill.
I like mustard greens.
Do you guys ever watch any French director Claude Chabrol's films? He's not horror per se, but most of his movies have some kind of cryptic twist to them. Actually, I'm a huge fan of director Claude Chabrol.
Mm-hmm. I've seen all of his stuff. I think that over time, his directorial style changed quite a bit. I mean, he got a little bit more abstract there towards the end. But you really want to get in on Claude Chabrol stuff, you got to check out the beginning stuff that he did with a lot of those French actresses.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, you're on Deadbeat Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Jerry Hoare.
What's going on,
Jerry Hoare?
Oh, I know how excited Uncle Bill gets when I fall in.
What the fuck? What is it with me? Like, how did I get to be the one that's, like, busting the ball?
I heard the MySpace show this week, and I know how happy and excited you get when I call in, so I figured I'd make your night and...
Jerry, let me tell you this though. I don't get excited when anybody calls. Matter of fact, I hate it when people call. That's just the kind of person I am, but don't take it personally.
Well, he was just saying though, I mean, I like it when the females call in. I think there might be a chance Kimlicious or one of the lovely ladies of Dead Pit could call in at some point. Uncle Bill said he didn't care, so I was like, well, you just like it when Jerry Hoare calls in, so you like talking to him. I think that's what I said, something like that.
That is true though. We
well, maybe he knows there's a chance, you know, because with my job and all, I could, if he ever comes down to the peep show, I could hook him up with one of the girls that work in there and everything. So,
Jesus, that would be nice. It was nice of you, though, to share the secrets of the trade, so to speak.
The secret of the ooze.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Well, you know, I mean, CK, he sounded pretty interested in the removal of semen from the pizza booth there.
Yeah, he's got a lot of work to do in his bedroom, so.
Hey, buddy.
Anyway, what'd you like to talk about, Jerry? What the hell's going on?
Nothing too much, fellas. A couple of days ago, I had the pleasure, and I use that term loosely, of watching the Ginger Dead Man. Have you fellas seen that?
No, I haven't had the pleasure of watching that one yet. Although I heard the sequel, The Passion of the Crust, is already out.
Well, let me tell you something. I would rank it up there as one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life.
Good Lord.
I mean, usually I'm a fan of the Full Moon stuff. I mean, I like the Puppet Master and the Subspecies and all that stuff. But, man, this movie was just fucking it was terrible. The gimmick behind it with the cookie and everything, it was kind of humorous for like 10 minutes or so, but like as the movie progressed, I just, the cookie had these people like in a bakery or something held hostage, but like these people were walking in and out of the fucking place like freely every 10 minutes. So my thing is, why didn't you just get up and leave?
Well, like, I kind of felt the same way about Evil Bong as what you're talking about. Like, the premise of the movie is entertaining for, you know, it's like a one-note joke for about the first 5 or 10 minutes, but you got to come up with some type of fucking movie around that. I mean, you can't just have an Evil Bong That's it.
It seems like they shot all that movie in just one room.
Yeah, they did. I mean, that was the thing. They just had a good, premise for a movie that was kind of funny, and they didn't have anybody that could execute any type of film around it.
I think the thing about Full Moon, though, they sort of trick people into thinking that they're still successful because they make these movies that probably cost like $1.50 to make. Their studio, I am sure, is like, it's almost like Eric C. Kahn's Law Complex. It's probably like 5 trailers put together. Or something, and they just pretty much do everything through that website, and they probably do okay through the website, but I mean, I think that he's trying to convince people into thinking that Full Moon is still, you know, it's still 1993 or something like that for them, and that's just not the case anymore. I mean, their stuff makes Trauma look like, I don't know, like classic shit now.
Their new stuff is pretty bad. I mean, like I said, I was a fan of their stuff back in the day, but, this, man, I don't know, I would say it's probably, I would watch a marathon of The Forest before I ever sat down and watch that again.
Well, of course, The Forest is great.
You'd watch a marathon on Final Exam anyway, though.
Yeah, I mean, I would do that regardless of the fact, so, you know, but, I guess, what the hell's been going on since you guys haven't been around, the Elm Street trailer, you guys, what was your reaction to that? Did you like it?
Jeez.
You know.
Well, the problem I have with it is what I've been talking about for months. I mean, that's not Freddy. Robert Englund is Freddy. I think that's going to be one of those movies that everybody, like, people are looking forward to it now. They want to see what it's going to be like. And I think the trailer, I mean, to me, it looked like a lot of the Platinum Dunes stuff that they've already done. But the problem is, with that movie, is going to be the guy that plays Freddy is not going to be Robert Englund. I just see that as just the one thing that nobody can see past when they see the final movie.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think even if the movie turns out to be somewhat decent, I think that's still going to be a big issue for people to look past. But, you know, like, again, I was talking to somebody else, like, you know, a lot of people say, well, why couldn't they get Robert Englund for this movie? And the thing is, like, whether we like it or not, the whole point behind it is that it is a remake. So having Robert Englund come in would kind of defeat the whole point of them remaking it.
Although I did hear that they're, for the Child's Play remake, Brad Dourif is actually doing the voice of Chucky again.
Oh, okay. Well, that's good. That's some saving grace, at least.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really have anything to see. Brad Dourif's in it. The voice and everything doesn't matter. I mean, they'll probably remake the doll and have some sort of updated Chucky, like Chucky 2009 or Chucky 2K1.
It looks like one of those NECA dolls or something.
Yeah. But as far as the Nightmare on Elm Street thing goes for me, like, I don't really understand okay. Everything is exactly the same as the original Nightmare on Elm Street. Like, it seems that way. Like, they've got the scene with Tina getting chopped up in the bedroom. They got the scene with Nancy in the bathtub. It all looks exactly like shot for shot the same. And then you get to Freddy, and he looks like, when you don't want the mafia to know where you're at, and they just blur somebody's face out. That looks like the fucking makeup that they did on Freddy.
Yeah, I had heard that, I don't know how true it is, though, that, like, that's not going to be the final makeup that's in the movie.
God, I hope not.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you really couldn't see it all that great in the trailer, but I had heard it wasn't going to be the final makeup but, you know, again, either if the makeup is good or bad, the bottom line is it's still not Robert Englund, so I doubt it's going to be met with great fanfare. But
it'll make a ton of money, though.
What was that?
The movie will make a ton of money, and that's the problem. I mean, regardless of how good or bad the movie's going to be, it's going to make a fortune just because it's called Nightmare on Elm Street. You know, I mean, it's the same reason all these other ones made money.
Oh, definitely. That's the same reason that Halloween, they keep making the new Halloween movies now. I mean, you know, I think they're okay, but... I could do without them, but they made money, and they're even making a part 3, I believe, that's going to be in 3D.
Well,
which, again, for me, I don't know about you guys, the only saving grace in part 2 that I really enjoy, I enjoyed I get his name confused with the other guy, Brad Dourif as the sheriff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
I would like to see him in, if they continue with that, I would like to see him in part three kind of taking over, like, the Dr. Loomis role. Because I thought he did a really good job, and like, that was really the only enjoyable part for me that I liked about Halloween 2.
Yeah, I think he was probably one of the only likable characters in that whole movie.
Yeah, he was.
I look back at it. But the problem, though, is after they remake, you know, you had the remake of Halloween, which made, you know, something like $30 million, and then the sequel didn't do hardly anything. So you're back to where you were before the remake. You're making sequels that aren't going to be as successful. So where do you go from here? And we were talking about earlier that Lionsgate is rebooting yet again the Texas Chainsaw Massacre franchise.
Again?
Yeah. So are they just going to keep remaking these movies? You're going to have 10 different movies called Texas Chainsaw Massacre?
Yeah, if they're wanting to keep remaking them until they get it right, they're probably going to do it for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Texas Chainsaw, like, they really should just lay that, like, leave it alone. I mean, because if you think about it, outside of maybe part two, which is a little bit different, every Texas Chainsaw movie is pretty much the same. So, like, each sequel is almost kind of like a remake anyway. So, like, they should just leave that alone already.
If you really look at it, too, none of the sequels were successful as far as making money at the box office. So what in the hell is the, why you, like, even Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the beginning, that was a big flop, too. So I don't understand why they're even interested in the franchise anymore. So
I don't know. Like, I mean, I love these franchises. I'm happy that they're still, I guess in a way, I'm happy that they're still around. But on the other hand, like, they're just really, like, making a mockery of this stuff. I mean, like I said, the remakes to me, okay, but again, there's no need for it. I went to the movies with my girlfriend last week. We attempted to watch the Stepfather remake, but to be honest, I just fell asleep in the movie theater. Like, I was just, number one, I really wasn't interested because it was PG. And, the whole movie to me played out like a fucking, like a Lifetime movie of the week drama or something.
Like, it looks like that. And that's not a movie that, I don't really understand why they remade that, because for one thing, nobody really knows about The Stepfather, and for another thing, that's not a movie that, it's not torture porn. It's more like a psychological thriller type of movie that nobody watches that anymore. Like,
well,
nobody.
If you did a movie like that with an actor that could really perform, you would probably have a hit on your hands. That's the problem. They don't want to put any money into these franchises. They get these franchises and make them for as low amount of money as they can, and hoping that, you know, through the box office and the eventual home video releases and stuff, that they're going to make their money and then some. They don't really want to spend any money on, like, who the fuck is the guy playing the stepfather anyway?
I don't know. Who knows?
I have no idea. I was awake for maybe 10 minutes of the movie, and then I fell asleep. I was tired. My girlfriend wanted to see it, so I'm like, all right, we'll go. And I was just like, I remember I liked the original Stepfather. I liked the whole series, and be, you know, a matter of fact. But this was just, I'm like, oh my god.
I don't know about you, but I can always kind of tell the movies that if they look like, I think the Prom Night remake is a really good example. If they look like the Prom Night remake, then I know to kind of avoid them. They all kind of look the same, too. It's just the way that they're filmed and the marketing campaign. Like, it's got a real slick marketing campaign with a lot of people from, like, MTV-style shows, like the OC kind of shit, like, thrown in there. And all the movies, like Sorority Row, the April Fool's remake, the Prom Night, and the Stepfather, all those movies had that same look. They just look
When a Stranger Calls.
Yeah, glossy or something.
It's just bizarre because
I didn't bother watching any of those. I just can't.
I don't know if they're all released by the same studio or what, but like, it seems like certain studios are more willing to take a gamble than others. Like, we were talking about Trick or Treat earlier, how Warner didn't really want to release it theatrically. And you'll notice, though, Warner Brothers is one of those studios that doesn't really take any chances when it comes to these theatrical movies. I mean, I think, what was it, Lionsgate that came out with Sorority Row, and
Yeah.
I think Warner Brothers did release The Orphan, though.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Like, well, the movie had just came out. It came out on DVD that I'm going to be picking up. I'm looking forward to seeing Wrong Turn 3. I mean, to me, that looks, like, better than all this other shit that's been coming out.
I actually have that one in there. I haven't got a chance to watch it yet. Believe it or not, I watched Wrong Turn 2 again and actually didn't mind it too much this time. I actually sort of liked the movie, believe it or not.
Yeah, I mean, I enjoy the hell out of those movies, you know. I mean, I think they're entertaining, they're gory, and, you know, they're not really, I don't think, meant to be taken serious. Like, they're not meant to be, like, good movies. They're just meant to have a fucking a good time watching them. And part three looks to be the same. It looks pretty, you know.
Yeah.
It looks pretty good.
Three Finger Returns. Two in the pink and one in the stink. There you go. But, man, we appreciate you. We appreciate you calling. We're going to try to take a couple more phone calls and get through these fan questions.
All right, fellas. No problem. I hope you take my semen cleaning tips.
Okay.
You need those.
Well, you did send that package of semen to Uncle Bill's house. Oh, so yeah. That was what we were.
Oh, yeah, I know. Oh, like okay. I said, I probably made Uncle Bill's night just now by calling in, so.
I'm going to make it into a high C, like, let you drink it.
He's going to put it all over his ice cream as topping. That's what he's going to do. Right?
Anyway, you take care, Jerry. It was good talking to you.
All right, fellas.
See you, man.
Take it easy.
Bye. It's our good buddy from Brooklyn, Jerry Holler.
Brooklyn.
Oh! So, Crater. He says, hey, motherfuckers. I was trying to talk like Crater.
That was good.
I have two questions this week, one for CK and one for Uncle Bill.
Oh, good.
CK, what are your favorite moments from WCW towards the end of its run? Personally, mine are anything dealing with Norman Smiley. Let's see. I would say the gimmick. Do you remember the gimmick, the Maestro?
Yeah, of course.
From the dying days of WCW. I thought that gimmick was stupid. How about the artist formerly known as Prince Iaukea? That was another one. You remember that one? The one, though, that really sticks in my mind and actually ruined the guy's career, I think it was one of the last WCW pay-per-views.
God.
Psycho Sid and the leg break.
Oh, yeah.
That was sick, man. That was like one of the sickest things I've ever seen on wrestling.
Like, I mean, I thought you were going to talk about Mike Awesome and all the shitty gimmicks that they gave him towards the end.
The 70s guy.
Yeah, that 70s
like
guy. And God.
Poor old Mike Awesome. May he rest in peace.
Hmm.
Uncle Bill, what's your fucking problem with Good Burger, motherfucker?
Welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger. Can I take your order?
I actually like Good Burger.
I like the movie Good Burger. I don't really have a problem with Good Burger other than the fact that any grown man that constantly talks about Good Burger, I have to make fun of. That's just a rule that I have. Like, who the fuck references that movie? I mean, that
buddy, your motherfucker constantly references Dr. Giggles, so I don't know if you got room to talk.
This is a whore talk radio show, though. In my everyday life, I don't go out and talk about Dr. Giggles.
I bet.
I talk about Larry Drake, because everybody knows he's the whole fucking show.
Hello, you're on Dead Pit Radio. Who's this?
Hey, it's Master Warlord.
Warlord, what's going on?
Oh, not too much, man. How are you guys?
I'm off the chain. How are you doing?
Doing pretty good. You're calling from Canada, too, eh?
That's right. Can you guys hear me okay or
yeah.
What?
Yeah,
I hear you fine.
Hear you loud and clear, brother.
All right. You know, I just want to comment on the whole Kim Malay Blair Witch shit that went on, you know? She kind of freaked out on me, and I just want to let you guys know, if you guys are wondering what it was all about. I was just kind of, I thought, you know, the chat room was kind of clicky. I guess you heard that word go around, clicky.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, when there's like a bunch of people in the room, you know, I know that not everyone's questions are going to get asked, but if you have, like, you know, maybe five people in there only, and I'm one of the five, and it, I'm blatantly being ignored, it's kind of, you know what I mean? So I mentioned it on the board, and she freaked out. She's like, oh, you know, there's no click son, and you need to grow up, and you need to get a dad. And I'm like, well, what the hell does that mean, you know, get a dad? She's like, it's personal. Yeah, it's like, well, you know, it's like,
who was
I
it?
Thought that was...
who was ignoring it, though? Was it us? Did we not?
Oh, no, just not in general. That's why I didn't mention any names, because everyone was bitching about, you know, I don't like this on the board, I don't like that. And I thought, well, you know, I'll bring up the chat. And then, I don't know, just she freaked out. And then she says, well, all the regulars, of course, they're going to chat amongst themselves. And I'm like, well, okay, so I wasn't ignored, or you were chatting amongst yourselves, which is a contradiction. So then she kind of, I called her out on that, and she kind of backtracked, like, well, you know, I kind of apologized to you. And, like, I think she was kind of expecting a lot of the male board members to, like, take her side and jump all over me. And when it didn't work out, she kind of backed down, I think. Just my opinion, but, And then that crazy Ralph motherfucker.
God.
Well, I think that he's crazy, and, you know, I don't think that's a gimmick. I think he knows to refer to himself as that for a reason.
Yeah, that's really that guy's really crazy Ralph from the Friday 13th series. He's back from
Great. He was telling me that the Dead Pit message board has a drama kiss.
Yeah. I don't know. And then he's like, oh, you know, shut the fuck up, man, and mind your own business. And finally, I just, you know, because I figure if the fight goes longer than one day, we're all idiots. I think each fight's like a day thing. So I dropped it, and I kind of gave the Friday the 13th Part 5 finger from whatever her name is.
Ethel.
What the fuck's her name? Ethel or whatever. Middle finger, and that was it.
All right, let's go ahead and talk about this then real quick.
Go ahead.
There probably is a click on the board just because there's been, like, people that have been on there since the very beginning. Now, whether or not they ignore people or not, I don't know. As far as the chat, like the Saturday Nightmares chat goes, I mean, we try to answer all the questions. Sometimes we don't see questions. But other than that, like...
I've got cataracts, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I didn't want to seem like an asshole, because I know, like, sometimes I've done, in the past 5 weeks, I've done 4 chats, and sometimes my questions get answered, some don't, because I know, you know, there's, like, 50 of you, not everyone can answer everyone, but when there was, like, you know, 5 of you, oh, I said this earlier, and 4 of them are in deep conversation answering each other frequently, and I'm there, and I'm kind of...
Here's the thing with me though. I mean, you need to understand this as far as I'm concerned. Like, if I'm in that chat room, I usually turn it on, you know, a couple hours before I'm even on the computer, you know, just to play the music and stuff like that. So a lot of times, like, if you're instant messaging me and stuff, I'm not even on the computer. Maybe that's what it is with me.
Well, I know that you mentioned something about not liking instant messages. You're like, well, you know, I can read the fucking screen, so why are you sending me messages?
That's a good point.
Even show up. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. Like, if you want to ask me questions and stuff, like, it's a lot easier just to ask it in the main chat room rather than, because, like, some of the people that try to send private messages can anyway, because you can only have, like, up to 2 or 3 open at one time, so.
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like, what is the deal with, like, I've noticed that, like, every time Kim says something, like, even if someone jokes around with her, like, I know sometimes a joke is hard to tell what is and what isn't a joke. Someone will say something to her, no matter what it is, Ralph has to jump in. He's like, oh, you can't talk to Aunt Kim like that. Like, it's almost like he has some, like, over-the-top bizarre attachment. Like,
well, you said it yourself. I mean, it's common knowledge. Crazy Ralph is fucking insane.
Okay, well, I don't want to... I was talking to someone recently, I won't mention his name, he's a real good guy, he mentioned, he implied that maybe he really was something wrong with him. I said, well, you know, Ralph well, and he's like, well, you know, maybe that guy's a little, you know, so, I don't know, but.
I don't know, I just want to say, I don't know if any, like, I don't try to get the... Uncle Bill, it's his big thing to mentally assess people. I don't want to do that. But
yeah.
I mean, the bottom line is, folks,
that's hearsay. That's almost irrelevant to the conversation. I was just kind of
the bottom line is, like, clicks, no clicks. It's the fucking internet. We're doing the radio show for fun. We're doing the video chats for fun. You know, I know a few people give individuals on the message board a hard time. There's a kid that posts on there now that's, you know, 12, 13 years old. They've been giving him a hard time, and finally, it's almost like it's a fucking, he was going through, you know, his first week in a fraternity or something.
It's like a hazing,
If you can handle it, you're welcome. Like, it seems like they're embracing him now. You know, I mean, I don't know.
Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, because I think Scrotum mentioned that he was ready to leave because it was Adam Beck that was insulting him. He kept calling him like a douche and all that, and he was getting tired of that. And then, yeah, he does say some strange things, but I think it's all in good fun. I don't think he's a bad kid. I think he's just, he's 15, he's young. I don't, and he's fucking knowledgeable, that kid, eh? He knows this and that. He knows, you know, rare names and pay this and that. I don't even know.
What I was telling Uncle Bill, I mean, when I was his age, there was no way. I mean, there's, like, he knows way more than me or Uncle Bill did when we were, you say he's 15. I don't know how old he is, but he's a young kid, no doubt about that. So, I mean, he knows his shit for his age. So people should definitely, you know, leave the guy alone. Let him have fun with everybody else.
Leave little Scrote alone.
I didn't think it was anyone personally that, you know, didn't ignore me, but, like, you know, just there's a few little instances where you feel like you're mildly dissed, and it's not, you know what I mean? So I don't.
Hang in there, sir. I mean, I'm sure that it's not as bad as it seems. We're going to try to make the deadbeat community more like the Methodist Church, open hearts and open minds. I mean,
you know, I don't want to, you know, I realize that, you know, you try and be a, even when you're arguing, you kind of try and be a gentleman, you know, like, I realize I am talking to a woman, so I don't want to start using words that start with a C, but I did say, you know, you're kind of being a bitch, and you're like, oh, I tried to apologize, and then, like, I don't know.
It'll all work itself out in the end, but, man, we appreciate you, definitely calling in, and,
Can I throw in one more thing?
Okay.
I want to talk about Timalicious really quick.
yeah, me too.
you know how when I went in the chat room the other night, as soon as I went in, you said, stay away from Timalicious, she's mine. You remember saying that?
Yeah, and I mean it too.
Well, because she and I have been talking privately, but she told me she didn't tell you that we were talking privately. So she's wondering, we're both kind of wondering how the hell you knew, like, where that comment came from. Like, how did you know we were talking? Or, like, we were wondering maybe if you can actually read all the private messages that everyone sends, or what?
I have no fucking clue what you're talking about, man.
You don't?
I didn't.
When you said that, stay away from her, I thought, oh, he knows we're talking, but I guess she told him? Because we had been talking privately. And she says the only people she talks to privately is me and you. So I was like, oh, she told him. And then I asked her, she said, no, I didn't tell CK we talk. So we were like, how the fuck does he know about these messages? So
When me and Kimalicious talk, it's just more of an intimate conversation. I mean, we don't talk about anybody on the message board or anything like that. She just wants to talk.
You're trying to break her into the lovely lady at Dead Pit section, I hear, eh?
So we'll see about that.
That's through the grapevine, but
I don't know. Maybe
don't know.
It might happen. But man, we appreciate
you
calling.
She's a nice girl, so you can't treat her like a bimbo, you know.
Yeah, buddy, you fucking jackass.
I do what I want.
Yeah.
No. But man, we appreciate you calling, and we'll talk
all
to
right.
you again
so
soon.
I'm like half asleep, but I'm like all jittery and rambling. So thanks so much, and I'll try and not to be so. Take the internet thing so seriously, but am I the last call?
Maybe. I don't know. We got a few more fan questions, so we'll see.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. You kick ass. And I'm on a cell phone wasting a lot of time, so thanks so much, guys.
All right.
So you take care.
All right.
Good night, guys.
That was an interesting phone call. Wow. Wow, Uncle Bill, wow. This is going to be the best Dead Pit show ever. I love how you don't want to say anything over there. Look, buddy, let me tell you something.
What are you talking about?
Master Warlord, you can private message Kimalicious all you want, okay? Kimalicious has told me privately that she belongs to me. She is mine.
I'm not positive. I'm not 100% sure, but I think I just witnessed an internet cuckling session. Is that what just happened?
I don't know what the hell just happened. Whatever happened is, I don't want it to ever happen again on this show, but it was fucking hilarious.
Is it my turn to read the fan letters?
Yeah. You're on Clean Tone.
Oh, Jesus. Clean Tone writes in and says, I can't think of how far back it was or with whom the interview was. Probably year one of Dead Pit, though. I seem to recall at least one interview where the person said something that led me to believe that they didn't understand that the conversation would be used in audio format. I think they assumed you would be writing something using the interview to pull from. This was not said specifically, though. I know that it's vague, but I guess my question is, have you ever had that happen?
I know Gary Clark was one guy that thought we were just going to transcribe that. And I was thinking, man, you must be crazy. Like, if we ever want to transcribe that interview, it'd probably take about a month.
There's no way. I don't think, I mean, we explain the nature of what we're doing to the people that right when we first call. Like, okay, we're going to be doing an audio interview. And they usually ask, like, is it going to be live or edited? And we tell them. I mean, they usually know. I don't think we've ever had anybody that didn't, like, throughout the course of the interview that thought that we were just going to be doing, like, a written interview. Not that I can think of.
I think Gary Clark was one, though. Because he didn't know exactly what we were doing at first. Most of the people know. I mean, it is Dead Pit Radio. We have them do a promo. You know, you're listening to Dead Pit Radio, so you'd have to be kind of an idiot to not know you're being recorded.
And we've never, ever recorded somebody that didn't know they were being recorded. I mean, I know that, because we always tell them. Aside from
Chris Rowe.
Yeah, except for possibly Chris Rowe and James Wan. I don't know if you were recording him. I think you were after he thought we'd hung up on him after the interview and he was actually talking with somebody.
Buddy, we better shut up. We'd get in trouble.
Shut the fuck up. So he didn't know that.
T-shirt Joe says, "Qué pasa, mi amigos?" The fuck?
The hell was that?
He says, "You guys always make a point of specifying that you're from Eastern Kentucky. What are some of the things that make the Eastern portions of the state distinctive from the rest of the state, I guess?" Eastern Kentucky is more hollers, mountains, whereas Western Kentucky is just flat land, farmland, stuff like that.
Well, I think in the context of what he's, like, talking about is the reason why we always specify Eastern Kentucky is that's where all the shit kickers live. I mean, Western and Central Kentucky is like the city. And Western Kentucky is almost like a part of Indiana or something. It's kind of the same, you know, the same kind of terrain. And people from Eastern Kentucky mix in with people from West Virginia, North Carolina. They're just, and Tennessee, they're just fucking mostly like us, like hillbillies. So whenever we say we're from Eastern Kentucky, that means you'll be seeing a lot of hollers and a lot of
holler whores.
Red, like, what was that, Beach Nut, and a lot of NASCAR, and quite a bit of country music.
That's right. You gotta love the country music. Well, not really, but.
No.
You know. So what else do we have? I'll just read some more questions. We don't have anybody else calling in. So.
Charles Emmanuel. Writes in and says, "Great retrospective on Coscarelli and the interviews with Henlotter. I really appreciated it. The Dick Durock dedication was also really great. The big guy deserved it. As we were speaking of old VHS, indeed the cover art was often the only selling point for me as a teen.
Did you ever been turned down? Damn.
I think he meant, have you ever been turned down by an ugly VHS cover art, only to find the movie was great despite of it? I remember the cover for Kyle MacLachlan flick, The Hidden, and Hardware, a generic guy screaming in black and white for The Hidden and eyes on a pixelated background for Hardware. Both looked very bland and boring, yet both films were pretty fun."
Mm. Yeah, The Hidden artwork on that sucked.
Yeah, it is. It's horrible. That poster's horrible, too, though, really.
Yeah. And Hardware's not that good either, although I hear the movie's not too good.
Well, you said I didn't enjoy it, but I don't think I enjoy Richard Stanley's bullshit anyway.
I know I didn't enjoy Duff Devil, baby.
Well, you probably won't enjoy that either. As far as, like, movies where you look at them and they're not appealing, but they're actually great movies, I always kind of thought the Last House on the Left artwork was kind of shitty. Like, it never seemed very interesting at all. You didn't really even understand what the movie was about at all. It kind of looked like a haunted house movie or something.
See, another one, though, where the artwork for the movie was really shitty and the movie was awesome is Night of the Comet. Do you remember the artwork for that?
Yeah, it's really bad, too, yeah. Actually.
And I actually think that the poster art for The Burning is shitty, too. Like, I don't know what you think about that.
Yeah, it's not too good. I mean, there's a lot of covers to DVDs that are just really bland. Like, The Thing is really bland.
Yeah, I don't even like the poster art for The Thing either.
Yeah.
Like, The Fog isn't really that good either, the poster art for that. I mean, some of them are better than others, but, you know, the majority of... And I think, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people that talk about the classic Carpenter era. And really, a lot of the posters, aside from Halloween from that era, which Halloween isn't even that great, but it's sort of iconic. All sucked. The artwork did. Assault on Precinct 13 was shitty.
Mm-hmm.
So, another something real quick here. From Bully Blinder, excluding the major subgenres of zombies and slashers, what subgenre of horror deserves more films made? I would say.
Okay, other than zombies and slasher films, the two genres that are getting made right now, like I said earlier in the show, are ghost movies and vampire movies. So I don't want any more of those fucking films. I know that.
I like to see some more killer kid movies. I'm actually a big fan of that subgenre of horror. That's why I wanted to see Orphan, but your ass didn't want to fucking see it.
Shut your fucking hole.
You shut up, buddy. Seriously, though, throughout time, the movie, even the ones that weren't even done well, I've always liked them. Like, I could watch The Good Son any day of the week, you know.
Without a doubt, there's two that I can think of right offhand that don't ever, ever get made anymore and never show up in the theater anymore for whatever reason. I've not figured out one of them. I know the answer to one of them. Cannibal films and killer pet, like killer animal movies. Neither one of those ever show up in theaters anymore. There needs to be more
some
of those.
Bitch, some bitch. What else we got, buddy?
Okay, Danny, old Danny boy writes in. Says, hello there. I've recently come back to the board. Used to post as Rock and Roll Nightmare.
He's a rock and roll nightmare without a prayer.
He says, anyway, I just listened to your last Best of the Bad, and I was curious if either of you fellas have seen A Return to Salem's Lot. Although I'm a Larry Cohen mark, this film is just plain awful, but so bad you have to watch. Also, he wants to know if I've ever seen the shit-stabbing classic Fuck My Poop Shoot.
Fuck My Poop Shoot. Doo-doo-doo.
And he says, thanks for the killer Frank Henlotter interview. Maybe Abel Ferreira next, and have a happy Halloween.
Danny boy.
Is Return to Salem's Lot... Is that the one with, is Rob Lowe in that, son of a bitch?
I don't think I've ever seen Return of Salem's Lot.
I haven't ever seen, I may have seen it when it first came out, but I don't remember anything about it.
Somebody sends copies of it and we'll watch it.
Yeah, so no on the Return of Salem's Lot.
Oh my God, Donnie Miller. Bloody Lens Limited.
Donnie?
You don't remember Rugged Donnie Miller?
Of course I remember Rugged Donnie Miller.
He said, it's been a long time, boys. Have y'all been? Just wanted to say that Screamfest 09 was killer this year, despite the fact that Romero canceled. He says, I'm sure this has come up before. Just wondering what your all's thoughts were on the Elm Street remake. Well, you already heard.
Uh-huh.
And have you seen the highly anticipated Trick or Treat? Well, you already heard that. He also says to me, CK Magic got within 3 games of winning the championship. I remember the days when you'd say that we wouldn't even make the playoffs, and he makes like a gay Chinese smiley face. All right, Donnie Miller, regardless of whether or not you even made the playoffs or you came within 3 games to win the championship, the Orlando Magic are still losers. Whether or not they're last in the league or they're, you know, the first motherfuckers to lose the first game of the playoffs, the last motherfuckers to lose in a game of the playoffs. They still losers, ain't they, Uncle Bill?
That's
they
true.
Didn't win nothing.
That's true. And really, who gives a shit?
I give a shit because I love making fun of people's teams that lose. Hmm.
So Crazy Ralph writes in. Oh, we got a call. We got a call. Let's take a call quick. Hello, you're on Deadbeat Radio. Who's this?
Hey, this is Tony Moran, fan 69. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
What's going on, Tony Moran fan?
It's Rob. How you guys doing?
That'd be a killer name, though, wouldn't it?
That would, yeah.
I was looking forward to talking to a Tony Moran fan, though, because I wanted to know, what in the fuck are you a fan of Tony Moran for?
I thought it might have been Tony Moran, actually.
That would have been awesome.
I'd just like giving my money away.
Yes.
He's at Michael Myers.
Let me tell you, man, after the call-in we've had tonight, the only thing that would have topped what we did previously was if Tony Moran actually called in. I'll just tell you that.
That's
you can tune in. You can tune in to the show.
Yeah, you should have him and Warren Gillette on at the same time and have a battle of wits.
Yeah. Awesome. The old douche countdown.
I love how Warren and Gillette, even at Scarefest, was trying to convince people.
I always call him Warren. And I said, hey, Warren, how's it going? He always pisses him off. He's Warren. I'm Warrington.
I'm Warrington Gillette, Jesus Christ.
I'm a fancy lad.
So what's up with you? We're talking about whatever. Whatever you want to talk about. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the horror world. A lot of DVDs coming out.
I know one thing I want to talk about is Dr. Giggles. Because the Dr.
Hell
Giggles
yeah.
print that you sent is off the fucking chain.
Here's the thing, though. Dr. Giggles doesn't do any conventions. So you're never going to get that signed, Uncle Bill.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we can get him out for remaster of fuck.
You've been smoking some weed tonight, too.
take your time. Take a deep breath.
Woo, baby. Woo, baby. I'm on Deadbeat Radio. This is a big deal, baby. Come on now.
It's so exciting. It's exciting. I almost said the Town of the Dreaded Sundown, but that's not right. Fucking the Scarecrow movie.
Yeah, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow.
Yeah, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean,
nobody.
Larry Drake, it's not like he's doing anything. I mean, you figured he would be one of those guys that would be totally up
dead?
For doing. No, he's not dead.
Oh, okay.
He would be totally up for doing one of those shows because, like,
somewhere in the corner right now.
I think, like, the last thing he was doing was, like, some type of Law and Order show or something like that.
Well, that was a while ago. He was on L.A. Law. And
I'll tell
you, man, I mean, if you need to find somebody to act, like, half-witted and drool on themselves, you can do no wrong with Larry Drake, man.
That's sad that the guy made, a living, a career, basically off the fact that he looks like he has Down syndrome.
I was wondering about that, like, when you're cast in a movie, and it's like, how do you go, like, well, we're looking for, like, a fat girl and an ugly guy, you know, it's like, you'd be perfect for the part. Fuck you.
Yeah, you could easily, like, put a bra on Larry Drake, and he'd look like a middle-aged, you know, fat lesbian. I mean, you wouldn't even have to do anything else. You wouldn't even have to give him a wig, really. I mean, just put some makeup on him. And...
I don't know where the fuck that came from. That was hilarious.
This is a great mental image. I need mind bleach quick.
But we've been talking to a lot of people tonight about the Trick or Treat movie, which seems to be getting a lot of... you know, praise on the internet since it came out. I mean, have you checked it out yet?
Yeah, really. I enjoyed it a lot. It's one of those movies where, like, the hype, I don't know, I started to believe the hype, and I was all just waiting for the, you know, the best thing in the last 20 years, and it was, like, good. It was really, really good. I'm not going to complain. It is one of the best things in a long time. But that's kind of sad, really, if you think about it.
That's what I was thinking.
It was good. And it was really good. But it wasn't, I don't know, I was waiting for, like, you know, I thought I was seeing a creep show again or something, you know, and it's not quite that.
I think that just the fact that, I mean, people now have been so jaded by the mainstream films and even the DVDs that come out that to them, like, that was something, like, 30 years good or something. It's like, you know, finding the needle in a haystack or something. I mean, it is a good, like, I kind of agree, it is a good film, but it's not a classic film by any stretch of the imagination, and I just think that's kind of sad that people have been exposed to so much shit that when a film that comes along that's actually just good, people are like, oh shit!
Here's the problem with that, though, man. I don't think a lot of people, even 30 years ago, were going into the theater watching a movie and saying, that's a fucking classic right there. That's just an instant classic. I mean, who's to say, you know, 20 years from now, people could be going back to Trick or Treat, and that could be like their... I agree with you about it being overhyped, but I mean, I think that it had some really, really good stuff in it, and I wouldn't go so far to say that it isn't a classic for this era, because, fuck, what classics do we have from this era, man? Think about it.
You got Hostel, Cabin Fever, I guess that's it, isn't it? That's like the only two movies he did, isn't it? Fuck. That guy's got to get backed up on the horse, man. We need our golden boy, our genius, to save us in this time of need.
But I mean, I got to be honest. Like, even when I was watching a film like, let's say, Seven or Martyrs, like, I knew, like, after I got done watching it, that I had seen something that had just completely, like, blown me away. Like, I knew that at least that, like, there was something to.
But what about movies like Texas Chainsaw Massacre or Night of the Living Dead? When they first came out, nobody really gave a fuck. It took them years to get that cult following.
Well, but that's just because, like, they were played in smaller theaters. I mean, I think the people that saw them were blown away, and that's how a movie like, you know, like, take Halloween, you know, it did shit at the box office its opening weekend, but then the word spread, and then the word spread, you know, but the reason it did all shit opening weekend is because there wasn't very many theaters. And the same goes with, like, Texas Chainsaw and Night of the Dead. Those are all, like, midnight movies.
Well, I mean, I can see something similar with Trick or Treat, though. I mean, it's not in any theaters.
No, you can't, because they won't fucking put it in the
movie. No, but listen to what I'm saying. It's not in any theaters, but I see the DVD came out, what was it, like, the first week in October. And it's fucking getting hard to find in stores. Like, I know Uncle Bill went in Walmart, what, two or three different times till he finally found a copy of it.
Yeah, but I mean, shit, it's called Trick or Treat. Plus, it's got like I said, it's got pumpkins and shit. The only thing that could have made that more sellable around Halloween is if they called it candy corn or something like that. I mean, if they'd have made the fucking DVD out of candy corn.
I mean, I agree, though, like I was saying about the hype and all that stuff, but I mean, I think it's too quick to say.
It's a great, solid movie, and I think that, you know, I'm going to watch it over and over again for sure.
I just think it was...
I'm still just waiting to be like...
It was too quick
like,
to
see. You know, Martyrs fucked me up for sure, but, and, you know, same with, like, The Inside, stuff like that, but it's still, like, I haven't had that experience. Maybe it's just, you know, you get older and you're not as innocent, and you're not going to see, like, fucking The Thing or Halloween or whatever again with those naive eyes, you know, but I don't know, I keep waiting for something to just, like, you know, grab me by the short hairs and stick in my head for weeks, you know.
Well, something else to think about, too, though, you know, going back to our childhood and all that stuff, now, with the internet, we're hearing so many opinions on a movie that nothing is going to impress us as much as what people are saying is going to be. Like, well, I was talking to Adam Beck about that a couple of weeks ago. Like, the internet just sort of ruins your experience in a way, because you already know sort of what's going to happen if you read all these threads. You've seen all the images from the movie. You know, you're bound to get either let down from the hype, or it's just something that you've already seen.
You get overexposed. You know? Like, I used to be a big Star Wars fan when I was a kid, so I was there waiting in line with bells on when Episode 1 came out. And I remember, you know, the movie sucked, but halfway through the movie, I'm realizing I've seen a picture from every single scene in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I just didn't know what order they went in. You know, you get totally, like, everything's fucking ruined on the internet, like you said.
Well, that's why for every movie, for me at least, you know, when it comes to some of the big genre or the big franchises, Friday the 13th and stuff like that, I can't help it. I've got to look at pictures and shit like that. But, like, Trick or Treat, I didn't look at any of that shit. I didn't read any of the threads, any of the pins on it. So maybe that's why it seemed like I liked it a little bit more than Uncle Bill did. Although, you liked it, I mean.
Buddy, what the fuck are you talking about? I love that movie. I've seen it 3 times in the last week.
Yeah, but you were saying that the hype sort of killed it for
it
you.
It did, and though, but that's just because, that's not because the film isn't good. It's just because there's way too much fucking hype.
Yeah, but what I was saying was I didn't really read any of the hype or any of that shit.
I knew absolutely nothing about that film other than the fact it was an anthology, and I'd seen, like, the front cover. And I think I knew, like, Quinn Lord from the Horror Hound thing. But, I mean, I had no idea anything in it. I didn't even know Anna Paquin was in the damn thing until I bought it.
Yeah. She's got a huge gap between her front teeth, too. It's freaky.
Yeah. Well, that's just, I mean, like, you know, the part of the movie that I'm not crazy about. Like, other than that, I think it's perfect. But that whole, like, music video shit that happens in the middle of the woods with, you know, it's awesome to get some tits in there, too. But it's just kind of like, man, what the fuck? All of a sudden, it turned into, like, a music video to... I don't even know what the fuck they were playing. It was just like...
It was, you talking about Sweet Dreams from... It was the Marilyn Manson version of Sweet Dreams.
Yeah, that's what it was, yeah. And it was just like, all of a sudden, it's like, what the fuck? Where'd this come from?
That part did come out of nowhere, it seemed like.
I did like the fact, though, that the werewolves in that film were kind of like they ripped their skin off like it was clothing or something. They kind of like just...
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that as a
new
twist.
That was a cool twist in the movie, too, though. I thought they were vampires or something like that at first, so.
Oh, they're werewolves.
Yeah,
werewolves, my God, werewolves.
They're warwolves.
But, yeah. But
I love that, you know, you realize that Sam's sitting there on the stump watching the whole thing, eating some candy, with fucking blood and gore. I don't know, it's awesome. It was a good, you know, anybody that hasn't seen it, don't listen. But I thought that was a great reveal, because I thought... I don't know, I didn't know what the hell Sam was going to look like underneath the hood.
Pretty freaky.
I thought he looked like one of those...
I was an innocent little kid, kind of, and then all of a sudden you're like, what the fuck?
Was it, were they boglins? Is that what they were called, the little things that came in? That's what I thought he looked like.
The Halloween boglins that, it was like these little ghoulie demons that like the, it was just the same design. It had like a jack-o'-lantern paint on their face and stuff like that. So, I think that's probably where they got the idea from for that mask or whatever it was, you know. But,
You guys should go after the director. I know he's been doing media every place.
Oh, yeah, Michael Dougherty or something.
They're already talking about doing a sequel, too, which I think is I'm sure Warner Brothers wants to do it now, you know, after all the success.
If I was him, I'd make it with their money and then tell them to go fuck themselves and get someone else to release it. That's what I would do if I was him.
Yeah. But at least you know from watching that, though, that they can actually, like, somebody can make a decent anthology. Like, I was starting to wonder after some of the shit like Creepshow 3 and some stuff like that, if people just completely gone retarded about how to make that work.
Mm-hmm. But, man, we appreciate you calling in. You're going to be our final caller. We've actually taken phone calls until 9:30. We said 9 o'clock. It's fucking 9:30, Uncle Boo.
Woo!
Well, you said until people stop calling.
Yeah, we did say that. Asshole.
That's true. Nobody else has called since we've been on here with you, though, so it's can safely say that it's over with. So we appreciate you calling, though, man, and hopefully we'll see you up at the Whore Hound show.
If they reply to me. I filled out the forum twice now, and no one's come back to me, so I don't know what the fuck.
Oh, well, some bitch. I'll put in a good word for you then. I don't know. I don't know if that'll do anything or not.
Probably won't help.
That'll probably be
help or hurt.
It'll probably hurt, yeah. It might actually hurt you. But you have a happy...
Yeah, with the podcast guys and then pooping.
Oh, God damn it. What the fuck is it? People break. Anyway.
All right, you guys. Take care.
Happy Halloween, brother.
See you, sir.
You too.
See you.
See you. Bye.
That's our good buddy, Robert Scott from Scottra.com, Uncle Bill. Fan question. Let's get
through. Oh, God, I'm ready. Let's
quickly.
Shit. Which one were we on? Crazy Ralph?
Who's really crazy?
Sirs, what has happened to Halloween? What has happened to the holidays in general? Christmas is taking over everything. I haven't really seen anything Halloween-related on TV, but The Grinch was on TV the other day. Hell, Christmas stuff is already up around here. Halloween just isn't what it used to be. Do you guys listen? Oh, he also goes on and say, do you guys listen to Red Bar Radio? I was talking about this with a fellow board member the other night. Something really has happened to Halloween, and it's not just the fact that it's not, people aren't decorating as much stuff. Here's one of the things that's happened. A lot of towns have started doing some variation of a safe Halloween type of thing.
Safe trick or treat.
Yeah, in which either a hotel, like they'll have it at a hotel, and people will just go to that instead of going around town. Or, and I recently heard about this, there's like a gauntlet of businesses that will set up in certain places, like businesses from the town that they're in. They'll set up and they'll hand out candy, and it gets the added benefit of them being sponsors for like this, you know, trick or treat type of thing. So you have to go through their gauntlet of PR and bullshit to get your candy and get out of there, and then nobody goes like around houses because that's it.
They're afraid of getting shit fudge.
So if you can believe it, actually, Halloween is becoming as commercialized in a way as Christmas is, just in a different kind of way.
I gotta say though, I think that as far as like the DVDs go and stuff like that, it seems like it's getting better than it was on stuff that you could get in stores. Like Walmart actually does have a really good selection of horror movies, not even PC horror movies as well. I mean, I was pretty surprised at some of the stuff that they had in their store, like Hello, Mary Lou, Prom Night 2 for $5. That's pretty fucking killer.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say anything about the DVDs and stuff like that because, yeah, you know, Walmart never had anything like that, really. And now they've got some of that stuff. And it seems to me like companies go out of their way to release stuff around Halloween, like even, you know, re-releases of DVDs and stuff. So that's gotten a lot better. It's just, unfortunately, the act of trick-or-treating and the whole reason for Halloween is kind of completely lost on people now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think that like the days, you know, when I used to go trick or treating, it was me and a friend and his brother along with his mom. We would go to every fucking house in Prestonsburg, like every place you could imagine, just to get the most candy possible.
Mm-hmm.
And you just, like, we get maybe 3 trick-or-treaters every year now, and that's it.
They're all up there at the Prestonsburg Inn or whatever the hell it's called now. I don't listen to Red Bull Radio.
I don't know what it is. Space7ICZombie says, hey, guys, I totally rocked my Dead Pit shirt at Spooky Empire this year. It was a real fun show. I was wondering if you guys had the chance to see Clive Barker's Book of Blood.
Blood, baby.
I thought it was a pretty good flick, and it was based on a story that's only 12 pages long. I wanted to know if I'm the only person that saw it on sci-fi a week before it was released to DVD. Now, you probably weren't the only person, but there's nobody else on a message board that saw it. I haven't seen it.
I've got to say, though, Spaz Zombie, you are the only person that I've heard say that movie was good. Almost every other I think every other person I've ever heard say that was like one of the worst movies that they'd seen in a long time. Especially one of the worst movies was a Clive Barker related.
Word.
So I don't know. I've just been trying to avoid that like the plague because of word of mouth.
Yeah, haven't seen it. I'm glad you wore your shirt at the Spooky Empire show though. It was nice.
Yes, thank you. SFX.
I thought he was the guy that did the masks. I swear to funny.
I think there's a guy called SPFX on there as well.
Okay.
He says, around this time of Halloween.
The guy that does the masks, though, that fucking shit is awesome. Like, have you watched the videos of that stuff?
Hmm.
It's silicone masks that cling to your fucking face. So when you're talking, it's like, it just looks amazing. Like, you need to check out the videos and stuff. Go on, Naga.
Okay. Around the time of Halloween, do you have any childhood memories you would like to share with us? Pranks, costumes, haunted houses, dares, double dares, and just watching the worst witch. Oh, shit.
Anything can happen on Halloween. Your dog can turn into a cat. You can imagine Sonny Landham singing it as well. Hey, mama. And I think I'm half alone. Halloween. I can't spit on your ass.
Mm.
I think I talked about this before, but one of the funniest things that ever happened on Halloween was, you know, I was probably 13, 14 years old. I wasn't trick-or-treating anymore. But I was sitting out on the porch giving out candy. And, of course, I had a really gory mask on. And I noticed that some of my neighbors were coming up to get some candy, trick-or-treat. And they were a little older. I mean, they were probably around the same age. They were still trick-or-treating. And we had a scarecrow out there. So I decided to, real quick before they saw me, stuff some of that hay and shit in my sleeves and, you know, in my shirt and stuff like that, and make it look like I was a dummy just sitting there. And I did that, and I was totally still. I'm the type of person, like, me and Uncle Bill used to have staring contests and shit. I can pretty much sit completely still for a long period of time. So they were talking, they were like, is that real? Is that what? Is that something they put together? And then the oldest neighbor, which you don't know who she is, they moved away now. She goes, oh, that's fake. You know, and went up and tried to punch me in the stomach, and I grabbed her arm, and she seriously pissed herself and ran all the way home. So that was like one of the, that was one of the more memorable things that ever happened.
And speaking of haunted houses and stuff around here, though, I don't think a lot of people, I don't know if this is true in other towns or anything, but around here, people turn anything into a fucking haunted house around this time. I mean, anything. They turn, like, drugstores, fire departments,
Paintsville has, like,
hay rides.
There's a haunted trail in Paintsville, I think.
I think there's a haunted apothecary. I mean, they literally, like, everything gets turned into a
haunted flea market.
Yeah, it gets turned into a haunted house. I remember when I was, you know, when you were in elementary school, they would turn, like, the gym into a haunted house. Like, they would make it out of old shitty cardboard and stuff. And, like, you could walk through it. I was always scared shit was
like that. I mean, that was, to me, that was awesome. They actually had, if they're going to do it again this year, I'll actually record it, but I don't think they do it anymore. The nursing home up here where the real Uncle Bill resides actually has a haunted house, and they do a pretty good job with it, actually.
They won't cause those people to have heart attacks or strokes, like he went up.
No, they actually have the people in the haunted house. They're from the, they live there in the fucking nursing home. That's what's so great about it.
I'm going to kill you.
So, yeah, I will record that, though. If they have one this year, I'll take a camera and record it. Ulf, though, we just got a couple more. We've got, like, this is like 2 weeks worth of shit, so it's going to take a while. Says, hey, fellas, it's been a while since I asked you guys something, so here we go. When it comes to horror movies, which is, says, which one has had the creepiest and best scenery, in your opinion? I guess the one of my, he says, I guess one of my favorites as far as scenery goes has to be The Thing. A lot because of the claustrophobic and desolate feel it has. He says, keep doing what you do because you guys are just plain fucking awesome. Keep it creamy and creepy.
Hmm.
Atmospheric horror film.
The best scenery.
I agree with The Thing, though. I think The Thing, just as far as like, yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere. You got snow, ice all around you. There's really, you know, it's the most, it's one of the most desolate movies I think that was ever filmed that I can think of. But other atmosphere, I mean, there's other, I think Trick or Treat had a great atmosphere to it as far as just the look of the movie, you know, and being around Halloween, you know.
Whenever I think of like movies with, where the scenery seems to be more important than the actors and the dialogue and anything like that, I always think of Argento stuff. Like, that's immediately, like, Suspiria comes to mind, the way that he used all of the sets and stuff to make that film look the way that it did.
I think Fulci's also the same way. I mean, even some of his bad movies, like we were talking about The Black Cat, as bad as that movie is, it does have some pretty cool shots in it. I mean, I'll give him that. And I would definitely say House by the Cemetery is another one that's got some great visuals. The Beyond, City of the Living Dead, just all really well put together as far as the look of the movie.
You got to throw The Shining in there too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, for fuck's sake, like the beginning opening scene of that, where it's like the big overhead shot following the car and stuff. That's like one of the most memorable opening scenes. And the hotel itself, you can't get away from that either.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that you could really, you know, if you go back and think. I mean, of course, the original Halloween. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it gets much more atmospheric than that. I mean, that was awesome. A lot of the stuff John Carpenter does, like even Prince of Darkness, which is a movie we really don't talk about a whole lot on here. That was just the way that the look of that movie. The movie kind of wasn't that good, but the look of that movie is creepy. Just the way it was shot, I thought.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see. This is from Moose McLean. That's John McLean's brother.
Moose!
Says, hey guys, I'm
That's
new.
That's the girl from, You Can't Do That on Television?
Yeah. Says, I'm new to the board and just recently discovered the Dead Pit goodness over the past few months. I've gone through and listened to most of the shows in the archive, and I agree this is the most entertaining and informing horror show I have heard.
Thank you, sir.
So he says, okay, on to my question. I was wondering if you guys would ever do a special about Pet Sematary. One or two. Oh, shit. Or maybe interview someone from the cast or crew. I've always been a huge fan of these films and can say that the original film is the only horror movie that still frightens me today. I'm not sure what you think about these films or if you're into them at all, but I was a little disappointed with the extras on the newest release of Pet Sematary, and I was looking for a little more insight to the film and the technical aspects of it. Thanks, and I wish you guys the best of luck.
I didn't even know there was a new release of Pet Sematary.
I didn't either, but I was thinking, like, who could we really get from Pet Sematary? I've tried to get Mary Lambert, but she really doesn't like...
We could get Denise Crosby.
I mean, I guess you could, but she's probably too busy doing Star Trek conventions and shit. You're not going to be getting Edward Furlong.
I could probably get the little girl. I'm pretty sure I could get a hold of her. She's probably on Facebook or something. What was her name?
I don't even remember.
What the fuck even happened to her character anyway? Like she
was away with their aunt or something.
But they never did even explain it in the second one. Like, I think they might have said she went crazy or something.
They didn't explain shit in the second one. They just picked up with old Eddie Furlong.
I don't have a problem doing a Pet Sematary retrospective, but the only thing is I don't know if anybody else would give a shit about it.
Yeah, I think that the first one, when I was a kid, people always ask us, like, what are scenes in movies that really scared you or really frightened you? And still, it, probably when I was an adolescent, as a matter of fact, that fucking scene where her aunt, I think it's her Aunt Zelda or something like
which
that.
Which was actually a
which
guy.
Which is a guy, yeah. He's like, he's got some sort of problem that makes his bones break really, really easily and all this stuff. Where he sits up in that bed and, like, is moaning and shit. That still freaks me out, even just thinking about it.
A grindstone saw.
And that, yeah, just for that character
alone. Fred Gwynn, you know, we often do impersonations and something else we can talk about on here, too. I'm not going to do this because there a lot of people think that Dead Pit's all about the almighty dollar. I don't have anything to drink for about an hour, so I'm going to be coughing a little bit here. But you all know that everyone's seen the Pet Sematary Hillbilly Horror Theater. YouTube has contacted us, Uncle Bill, wanting us to be a partner for their partner program. But you know what? We'd have to abide by their rules.
It's all about the Benjamins.
No foul language was the big one. That was the only big one. And I was like, no, I can't do it. I love cussing.
How would we be able to do it?
I love cussing more than money. Yeah, we'd have to remove every fucking video that we ever made.
That would be, like, completely horrible.
But, yeah, I thought it was funny that they were wanting us for that. Because I think Google and Viacom and all that stuff, that's Paramount, so they're fine with it. Like, they get a lot of revenue or something, I don't know.
I can see that right now. This movie is a bunch of gobbledygook.
Yeah, they didn't give a fuck about that. They actually own the movie, so... That's something you folks should realize on if you're doing reviews on YouTube. Paramount, they usually don't give a fuck about if you use any of their shit. I mean, they allow anything because it is. I think Google and Viacom and all that shit are, it's the same company as I believe so, yeah. But anyway, Fred Gwynn, like, his voice and just his presence in that, and that was pretty much the last, I'm sure that's the last horror movie he did. it was just like without him in it, it wouldn't have been nearly as good in my opinion. I mean, he was just because everyone knew him from the Munsters and all that. And we often, like we're saying, like his voice, it was perfect for that, and it was just.
I don't think that I could ever get tired of that one line in that fucking Hillbilly Horror Theater thing where he says, you say something like, that's a good story, good walk. If you play with my balls.
I'll tell you all about it sometime. After you play with my balls. And he'll say something like, how do you like that, Denise Crosby? Bitch. So, anyway, though, that is it for the fan questions, folks. And this has been a remarkable call-in portion and fan portion. We're going to take a break. We're going to recoup. We got some announcements to get to, and we got DVD reviews to get to. After this break, here on DearPit.com. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com. Until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. Mm-hmm. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Offici, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check them out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is.
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Howdy ho, folks, and welcome back to Dead Pit. Creepy Kentucky here.
And I'm Uncle Bill. Make these announcements, damn it.
Buddy, we got DVD reviews to get to yet. You better settle your ass down.
Make some announcements right now.
Next week's show is going to be huge, Uncle Bill. I will say that. It's going to be huge.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're right.
I don't know why it's going to be huge, but it's going to be huge next week because it is. It'll be October 30th then, and then the 31st, Saturday Nightmares.
That's true. It's going to be big as far as Halloween goes. We're going to have a special interview with Michael Jackson. He's going to be back from the grave and ready to party.
Yeah. Michael Jackson probably looks like that little pumpkin kid from Trick or Treat now.
Yeah, you can't really preserve plastic that well. And like, well, I don't think that all that shit in his head, like whatever was holding his head together, which I thought might be like Legos and those, you know.
I was watching somebody on YouTube. I don't know who it was. I think it's somebody I'm subscribed to. And they were still like talking about Michael Jackson like he was God or something. And I'm like, look, I understand if you're a fan of the guy's music and everything. But in the end, he was only a fucking guy. Get over it. He died back in June.
I don't know. to me, this is one of those things where nobody gave a shit about Michael Jackson for about the last 10 years.
15 years.
Other than to mock him for like all the stuff that he went through with the child, you know, child abuse, child sexual abuse. And now people, like, after he dies, people are like, oh, God, he was talented.
That's why I commend the guys at South Park for still making fun of his ass after he died. Because they were making fun of him when he was alive. Same treatment.
Yeah. I just don't. I mean, I don't care. I didn't care about him. Ow! So, anyway, what are the announcements, though?
So, Saturday Nightmares. We'll have Saturday Nightmares this Saturday night as well, aren't we, Uncle Bill?
No.
Yeah, you're going to join us, too.
No, God,
we're going to talk about two more random movies. That's what we've been doing for the last 3 weeks now, so it's been sort of pretty cool to do. And also, every day over on YouTube, you can go to youtube.com/deadpit and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For the next, I guess, 10 days now, we've had... we're going to have a total of 13 of these video reviews. The 13 horrors for Halloween, Uncle Bill. It's a big deal. All leading up to October 31st. So you'll just have to see what we're going to review. And tune into that channel. Subscribe if you haven't yet. We're almost, Uncle Bill, 2,000 subscribers on that YouTube page.
Ooh, that's going to be
which
nice.
Which is amazing considering we barely put videos up aside from these little special deals. So we got that going on. We got new Blu-ray reviews up. I actually got a Blu-ray 5 picks for you Blu-ray people out there that got that get the HD goodness. Some of the best Blu-rays for horror this Halloween season. Got a video on that as well. What else do you have planned, Uncle Bill?
Nothing.
Well, shit on you. So, we might as well go ahead and get into these DVDs. So, first up, first DVD, The Monstrous Special Edition, Uncle Bill. From our buddies at Lionsgate Home Entertainment. Director from 1987. One of the movies that, if you grew up in the 80s, odds are you saw this at least a dozen times on HBO back in the day. Because this is one of those movies that they just played to death.
I like The Gate. The Gate reminds me of childhood. It's a very special time in my life. I think that movie came out when I was 7. Came out in 87, I think.
Right.
It's it's a really weird film for a bunch of different reasons, but we'll probably get into all of them here shortly. But it's really the story of a group of kids played by Stephen Dorff, who... y'all know now is in the Blade series. He really hadn't done much of anything else since the Blade series.
Of any, yeah, substantial.
Lewis Tripp, who's his best friend in the film, and they open a gateway to hell on accident when a rotten tree is removed from the backyard. So,
oh God!
God,
that looks like fucking spray paint.
No, no.
So yeah. I think what they do is they, one of the Lewis Tripp's character listens to like metal, like Satan metal or something like that. And there's this band called, was it called Crucifix or something like that? Or what was the band called?
I don't know, but he's wearing like the leather or the denim jacket and shit. But
that was a Killer Dwarfs.
Yeah, that's Killer Dwarfs, isn't it?
But like the band he listens to, plays the record backwards and, you know, it, you know, I mean, the whole Judas Priest thing was big in the day and stuff, and I guess that's where they got that. So, he reads a, some sort of, thing from that book, which actually opens the gate, I think. I think that's how it happened. I'm not entirely for sure, because they didn't really say exactly how the gate was opened. And then the they needed like a sacrifice for the gate to officially open. Two sacrifices, right?
two human sacrifices, that's right, and then they would rule, like the demons of hell would rule the world or something to that effect.
Yeah. So out from the gate comes these little minions, and these things are awesome.
That's the best part of the movie, by far. Because back then, they really didn't have CGI like we know it today, so what they did was they had little people dress up.
Midgets.
Yeah, in these, I don't know, they're like little demon succubus things, and they would just run around like, they would set up the taller sets and stuff like that to make it look like they were a lot smaller than actually were.
Forced perspective.
Yeah, forced perspective, that's what it's called. So that was like the best part of it. They were all in rubber suits, just running around like a bunch of fucking crazy people. It was great.
Yeah, and there was actually some of the midgets actually they flipped around and did some crazy shit, and it really made the little creatures come to life because, I mean, this was a low-budget movie made in Canada, for just a couple of crates of Kraft dinner. And the minions, I mean, they're pretty basic looking. I mean, they didn't really, I think they animated their eyes after they filmed it, stuff like that. Tried to give them a little bit of animation in the face, but not much. I mean, they just have this standard look like,
Yeah, they really can't do anything either. They're not, like, the mouths are not really mobile or anything. I noticed when one of them was biting the Terry character that really all they did was they put him, like, up against, like, the back of his neck, or it looked like it was the back of his neck, and that was like a little gate puppet thing that they used. And the mouth didn't move or anything. It was just, they just wiggled it around to make it look like it was biting him. So they really didn't do anything. But they just looked really cool. Especially like the minion gate things. And then the gate thing at the end, which is like the demon lord or whatever. That has two sets of arms and it looks like a bigger version.
Looks like something from the Dungeons and Dragons game.
But to me, those things are always just funny. Like even when I was a kid, I don't think I was ever really scared of those. What's scarier than fucking that movie is the guy that lives in the fucking wall.
Yeah, because I remember telling some of my neighbors, like I took the story from the movie that there was a dead guy in between the walls in my house that, you know, helped build the house, and he's still in there. So I stole that, and that creeped some of my fucking friends out because they'd never seen the movie before. But yeah, I mean, I always thought that was really, really scary as a kid, because I guess he's sort of a zombie, but not really. I mean,
he's a cool looking zombie though. Like the makeup effects they did on him, he kind of looks like a zombie, and he kind of looks like a person, and he's like in between decaying. But just the scene where he like falls out of the side of the wall, and he's kind of just laying there, and they go up, and they're looking at him, and then he comes to life, and all that shit. That's terrifying. And also another part of the movie that I thought. And you mentioned this too, but the part of the movie that I thought was really fucking scary is there's mostly all children in the film.
Yeah,
but there's very few scenes in the film where there are adults involved, and they're mostly like there to hurt the kids, oddly enough.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where their parents come back, or they think it's their parents, and like Stephen Dorff runs up to them, and he picks Stephen Dorff up, and he's like, "You've been bad." And then there's like, they answer the phone and they're saying that, and that's like a running motif through the thing where they keep saying, and he like pushes his dad's face in and all this goo and shit comes out of it. It's stuff like that. That's terrifying when you're a kid to think that your parents could really be something like that they're not, that they could be like monsters in disguise.
Yeah, I mean, this movie does have some really creepy stuff in it. For being just a PG-13 movie, too, like, you know, the whole scene, just stuff that I really thought about as a kid, with the eyeball in the hand, just really bizarre, freaky stuff where he stabs his hand, you know, the eyeball in his hand, and, but getting back to, like, what I think makes this movie affect, you know, such an effectful film is, especially for a kid watching it for the first time, the movie stars kids. It's pretty much all kids throughout the movie. There's no adults aside from the very beginning of the film. And it gives it this bizarre vibe. Like, it's sort of like a kid's movie, but it's a horror movie. It's a monster movie, too. And I think that this is one of the rare cases where this happened and was a success in the 1980s. I mean, I can't think of too many other movies that was like that. I know there were some TV movies in the 70s that were sort of similar. But, I mean, I think that the it just had a bizarre, like, it's one of those things you can't even describe the vibe the movie has until you see it. It's just got a weird, it's just bizarre, the vibe of the movie. It just, it's like there's no hope for those kids. There's nobody there to protect them. They've got to fight for themselves or they're fucked, you know.
It's true. Never really thought about it. But the kids in the film, like, they do a really great job. Stephen Dorff, I guess, would be the lead kid. And then the kid that played, I think his name is Lewis Tripp, that played his friend is actually really good in it, too. As, like, he just goes through the movie as the nerdy, like, heavy metal listening to, perpetually scared kid in the film. The other thing, though, is there's just shit that happens in this film doesn't make any sense. But that, I guess it's supposed to be like an alternate dimension.
Yeah.
Where when they release the gates of hell, all hell literally breaks loose and like the dimensions are kind of shaky because the stuff like the guy coming out of the wall, the eyeball in the guy's hand and the demons and all that stuff. A lot of it's just fucking out there. I always liked though the end of the film, which was this kid, Stephen Dorff, is always like he's into the model rockets and stuff like that. And you can see that coming a mile away, the ending of that film. But I don't know. In some way or another, I always like it when the kids, like the main thing that the kid likes comes into play to help defeat the monster in a lot of these films. And he shoots the rocket into the big giant gate monster thing.
Giant Gila monster.
Giant Gila monster, yeah.
But this movie's really fun. It's a whole lot of fun to watch. It's one of those movies that I don't know how you could get sick of it. I mean, I know we had this as a screening. We had the HD TV version at Friday Night Film Fest a couple of years ago, and it was a big hit. It was like, I think Ken Daniels was telling me it was the most crowded room that year for anything when we showed this, so... it does have its fan base, and I'm sure it'll do well.
It wasn't that big of a hit, like, halfway in the middle of the film when everybody was fucking screaming and going on, like, half people got up left they were trying to watch the movie. Everybody was screaming about how gay the film was, which was the most...
Everybody, you mean Tim Rose?
Yeah, well, like, everybody in our row was. Yeah.
That
was the most entertaining thing about it, really.
But there is a decent amount of features on it. I mean... you have audio commentary with the filmmakers, new cast and crew interviews, including Michael Nankin, the writer, and the special effects creators Craig Reardon and Randall William Cook, and Tibor Takacs is actually interviewed as well. Tibor Takacs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to say that, right? I always call
Tibor,
it,
by God, Tibor.
Tibor Takacs. That's what I'm going to call
Tibor
it.
Tibor Gore.
Yeah.
And the movie is featured for the very first time in its widescreen presentation and original English 2.0 audio. So, Slipcase actually did the featurettes, and we discussed it a little bit on the MySpace show that wasn't available. You guys, but I really, you know, there wasn't a whole lot here. There were like around 10 minute segments, but I mean, I thought it was really interesting. I liked especially the talk with the effects guys, how they did the effects in the movie and stuff you never really even thought about, like the scene where the worker falls to the ground and it transforms into a bunch of minions. You know, that was actually like, for some reason, I was just thinking they just switched, you know, turned the camera off and turned it back on or something, but that wasn't that easy, would it? You know?
Yeah, that's probably one of the more memorable scenes in the film. I guess the glaring absence in the special features is Stephen Dorff, though. Like,
he's too busy making shitty movies.
which is odd because this was his first film.
This is by far the best movie he was ever in. Yeah.
You'd think that he'd want to have something to do about talking about what went on and stuff, but apparently not. I thought that the features that they did were okay, but there wasn't a whole lot of stuff on there, really. There's like two with the one with the well, effects and one with the
if you can't and find the stars, the other stars, yeah. They don't want to do it. I mean, what else can you do?
Was there anybody from the film?
No.
That actually talked about it?
I don't believe so, no. I know that Sleepy couldn't find Krista Denton and Lewis Tripp. I know that was a couple. He just had no clue where they were at, which is odd because I know Lewis Tripp had a small role in Detroit Rock City, which is about 10 years ago. I figured that he would be at least fine. You could find him.
No.
Evidently not. But that is The Gate, the Monstrous Special Edition. It's out now.
Oh, I did want to say one other thing about this, though. I've got the other version of The Gate, the one that was like really hard to find for a long time. I guess it's the
Platinum,
yeah. Whatever they did on this one with the transferring it over, like, I don't know if it was something about Platinum or...
Yeah, Platinum just transferred it from VHS.
Everything they ever come out with looks horrible. It looks fucking awful. So anything that anybody comes out with, they even put halfway effort in, it's going to look 1,000 times better, which this did.
Of course,
though.
It looks better than the Platinum release.
Yeah.
I know that the HD transfer has been out for a couple of years. That looks 10 times better than the Platinum release, too. The Platinum release, I think, was taken from probably a Laserdisc or something. Like, I'm sure that didn't have any sort of negatives or anything. So, Monstrous Special Edition of The Gate.
So, that brings us to Friday the 13th, the series, the final season.
Yes, no more of these.
There's only 3 seasons of this show, by the way. And
that was 3 too many.
This is a 5-disc set from our friends at Paramount who, look, and I'm kind of torn about this because fans have requested these series, this and Tales from the Dark Side, for years and years. And they are putting them out, so I'll give them the credit of putting the series, but my God, like, it look, the Friday the 13th, the series ones, and the Tales from the Dark Side ones, as a matter of fact, they don't look good at all. They look like VHS transfers that they just put on DVD. They didn't put any effort into anything. And it's kind of hard to watch. Like, it kind of looks like you're watching a DVD-R that somebody ripped, like a friend ripped for you or something from the TV show that's on Sci-Fi.
Well, the bottom line is, the way I look at it, if you're a fan of this series, you're lucky it's even coming out, bottom line. Because they're not going to spend any money to remaster this stuff and spend the money printing the DVDs. That's just not going to happen. I mean, what they had, I'm sure, is whatever they transferred directly in their library. I mean, they didn't... I don't even know if you could remaster... Because this stuff was shot on the cheap. I mean, this was... especially Tales from the Dark Side, which we'll probably be reviewing that one next week. And Friday the 13th, the series, I mean, you know, the original series, the concept was pretty simple. Where this... these two cousins, I think they're related in some way, they gain possession of this antique shop, and each item that was sold in that antique shop, they have to track back down. It's possessed. So there's a story for each item. And then in the third season, it seems like they went away from that plot line into some other alternate dimension that I have yet to figure out what it was, because I tried watching 2 episodes of this. It was one of those deals where I just couldn't really get anything out of it. I was sitting there trying to figure out what was going on. It was almost like when we were trying to watch Fulci's The Black Cat last night.
Let's divert onto that for a second. Lucio Fulci's The Black Cat.
Going to review that now.
At one time or another, somebody, and I'm not going to name who this person is, but they know who they are if they're listening, had said that the Black Cat was an underrated, like, semi-cult classic film of Lucio Fulci's that not a lot of people appreciated. And this person couldn't understand why that was and that this was, you know, a lot better than a lot of people get credit for. How? What the fuck? How, what were you watching? You were not watching the same film I was watching. Because Lucio Fulci's The Black Cat makes fucking Door into Silence look like Casablanca or something. It's like,
well, I don't know about that. I mean, they're both pretty bad.
That guy, when he made bad films, oh my lord, they were like,
yeah, they were
horrible.
Really bad when he made bad movies.
And he made like as many bad films as he did good films. I hate to say
no,
that.
He made more bad
films.
Yeah,
he actually made probably more bad films. If you don't get in on City of the Living Dead, The Beyond, Zombie,
New York Reaper.
New York, well, fuck you.
Buddy, New York Reaper, give me a break. That one's actually good. I don't give a shit if you like it or
actually,
not.
Actually, House by the Cemetery is like not very good, but it's like 10,000 times better. Anything aside from those films.
The Psychic, I'd give The Psychic's okay.
Even The Psychic's kind of dull, but it's better than that film. Anything like, just no.
Perversion
and I'm afraid now, because I ordered Conquest. Conquest is bound to be fucking god-awful, but we'll see. Anyway, back to the Friday the 13th series after that short break.
That was another review you guys got real quick there.
It wasn't a review more, it was just a rant on how shitty that movie is. The one thing they did in this season, and I suspect I probably know why, because the ratings were probably starting to go down the toilet for this series by this point, they added a new character as like one of the main members of the cast, this Johnny guy,
who's Johnny, and then he looked the other way.
This Johnny guy, that's like,
he's like a gayer version of Eric Roberts.
He is. So he joins old Mickey, Ryan, and Jack as one of the shop is known as Curious Goods in this show, and. See, whenever they do that, it's like when they add, like, Ted McGinley to Married with Children. Shit just goes downhill. Because even if you hate this show, and a lot of people do hate it.
Me too.
Then you have to realize that there was a certain chemistry between the lead players and the cast. And then you introduce somebody, like this jackhole into it, it's just going to fuck with that chemistry. Aside from the fact that a lot of the stories in this just aren't very good. Like, I tried to watch, there's like a three-part one at the beginning of it. It's The Prophecy, which has got something to do with John DeLemay's background and how he lost his, I think it's sister?
And brother. That's how they, I think he's off the show after
brother,
that.
Lost his brother.
Right. He leaves the show after that segment.
Yeah, it's, and that's sure. Where the other guy comes in, too.
Then I don't blame him for leaving that show.
He had better stuff to do, like Jason Goes to Hell.
I'll give the first season, we didn't review the second season, so it probably got progressively worse. The first season, at least, you could watch it and understand what was happening. And I tried watching two or three of the episodes. I watched the second episode all the way through. I just couldn't get what was going on. Like, it was just so poorly made, like there was... It was something about this underground lair and a demon and all this, and I'm like, who gives a shit? What the hell?
Let's be honest, though. The only reason that you're buying this set, if you buy it, is because you, either you already like it and you grew up watching it as a kid, or you want to see this Luis Robey's titties and...
Or, you ain't going to see it, it's a TV show.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
Or, it's just called Friday the 13th, and you're going to buy anything that's got Friday the 13th on it.
Well, I hope that if you really like Friday the 13th, the movies, you're not going to buy this shit because it doesn't have anything to do with it.
Do you think that's why they have the logo on there, though, and the logo ain't on the actual show?
Oh, I know why they got. I know exactly why they got the name of the series Friday the 13th because Frank Mancuso's fucking sorry ass. He hated the fucking films. He just wanted to use the title to try to drum up money.
Yeah. Anyway, though, I mean, this is, like, of all the TV shows that we've reviewed on here, this is the worst season of any of them. I mean, I didn't even watch. I mean, it's, like, 800 and some minutes. There's no way. I mean, that would be the closest thing to fucking torture without having somebody stick needles in your dick hole.
So if you're thinking about buying this, and you don't know anything about the Friday the 13th, the series, and you just want to buy it because you think that might be a good idea, something to watch around Halloween or something like that, don't.
Please don't. Don't do it.
If you've never seen this before, don't.
Don't bother with it. It's horrible.
It's, and especially don't buy this fucking season.
Yeah. Uncle Bill actually liked the first season.
I did.
But even he can't put up with the awfulness that was the final season of
Friday the 13th.
Really,
like, it would be like if you tried to get in, if you'd never seen the X-Files and you tried to get in on, like, the fourth or fifth season of the X-Files, you just wouldn't know what the hell's going on because that show's set up where it's like a mythology. There's, like, certain stories that carry over, and this is the way that this was, too, with the prophecy episodes and stuff like that. You just have to kind of know what the hell's going on, and I didn't follow this show. We didn't get the second season. I didn't follow it at all, so.
Are you saying you actually watched all the episodes in the first season?
No, but I mean, that's all I'm saying. I didn't follow the show.
Anyway, that's Friday the 13th, the series. It doesn't have any extras on it, does it?
It's got episode promos on selected episodes. You can see the promos.
That's pretty funny, actually.
The lead-ins that they used.
Tonight on Friday the 13th, the series, Roby is detected, I don't know, whatever.
Roby pinches a loaf.
I don't even know any of the characters' names in it. But, here's my problem with it. Okay, you got that show out, and a show like Freddy's Nightmares, which is a million times better than Friday the 13th, the series, has yet to come out. What is wrong in this country when that hasn't happened?
I don't know if that show's better or not. Like,
I guarantee you that show's better. I've got two copies of the show on VHS. Trust me, it's a fuckload better than that.
Like, I haven't seen that show since that show came out. So I'm sure when I was a kid, I thought it was great. Who knows?
It's great compared to that. We'll say that.
Okay. So that's Friday the 13th, the series, the final season from Paramount. If you're interested, you go over and buy it anywhere. Or you can go over to Paramount.com.
Yeah. Paramount's some nice folks. We just really hate that series, though. So.
Yeah. We're sorry.
That is it for the show this week. We appreciate everybody calling in. And we will see you guys next week for another exciting episode with the Creepy Kentuckian
and Uncle Bill
over at deadpit.com.
PM.
Hey guys, it's Kimalicious, and I'm calling
to talk to you guys. And I love Dead Pit. So I guess I will call you guys back later. All right. Bye.